is. Now, down to the field with the voice of Bulldog football, Chris Chatburg.
And good evening, Bulldog sports fans, and welcome to Barlow Stadium, War Memorial Field, where tonight the Sandpoint Bulldogs will be taking on the Lake City Timberwolves. I'm Chris Chapman, and to my right, the Bulldog Hall of Famer, Jay Vandenberg. Jay, it's going to be tough to top last week.
Boy, you know, you've done this longer than I have, Chris, but you know, I'm a Bulldog through and through. I've watched many of a game that came through this through Barlow Stadium Memorial Field, and that one sits right at the top.
That was
impressive. The Bulldogs found a way to hang in there, and boy, just came up in the overtime with a couple big plays to seal it.
Yeah, and so the one thing I've been thinking about this week, and we'll talk to Coach Knowles coming up here on the Oaks Fresh Market pregame show in just a moment or two, but start and rolled from there. Every other week so far, the Bulldogs have been, I think, down at least two scores early in the game or sometime in the first half. So they got to figure out a way to sort of gear it up a little quicker, don't you think?
No, absolutely. You know, 21-2 against Coeur d'Alene, and, you know, he ended up losing 24-22.
Yep.
And then, obviously going down to Homedale, you know, 26-0 before we started putting points on the board there early in that second quarter. And again, Lewiston jumped out 14-0. And, you know, and the Bulldogs have been able to hang in there. I can't talk enough about Garrett Cox and what he does and the energy he brings to his football team, because he really is that guy. He does it on the defensive side of the ball and then on the offensive side of the ball. And then you have the perfect complement and the smartest kid on the field every time the ball is snapped, and that's Parker Pettit. You know, those two guys are just, you know, they're 1-1 and 1-A, and they've really just carried this Bulldog team, this offense, with the plays they make under pressure situations.
Well, the one thing that we know about, the Bulldogs, they're going to have to sort of figure it out too defensively a little bit, especially on the back end where, you know, they've had some trouble in the defensive secondary from time to time so far.
Boy, and they have, you know, and again, just some struggles. You know, a lot of new guys out there. McCorkle's the only one on the outside, the corners, that has any significant playing time coming in the year. And then you got Cody Steiger in the back that, you know, has made some big plays throughout the year. But, you know, I thought last week he struggled a little bit, and, you know, some balls that kind of hung up in the air, and Lewis was able to come up and make some big plays
that he probably should have had.
And times before he makes those plays, and the Bulldogs, you know, going into the season, you know. We're now into backups on that defensive
line.
Yes,
that's true.
And, you know, so that defense has been taking some lumps here. So some guys, some newbies are getting some opportunities here.
Well, you're listening to the Yokes Fresh Market pregame show here on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio. Your friends at Yokes Fresh Market, located in Ponderay next to the Bonner Mall. Yokes, a part of your life and a part of the community. We're 15, 17 minutes away from kickoff. Of course, it is homecoming tonight, and all of that entails – and anymore, that entails a lot. And it's going to be interesting to see if the Bulldogs can be focused at the start and at the outset of this one, because, as you're well aware, homecoming, there's a lot going on that has nothing to do with football.
You know, there's a lot of distractions. You know, in years past, I remember when I was in high school, you know, Powder Puff kind of started, you know, I think my freshman year or eighth grade year. And, you know, that stuff was happening all week long. You know, Wednesday was the big night. And you know, just a lot of distractions, a lot of stuff. But, you know, over the years, it's, you know, Powder Puff is over Monday.
Yeah.
You know, let the kids focus back onto the big game. And you know, homecoming is it's truly about this football game. It's just an opportunity for these kids to, you know, have a little dance after on a Saturday or whatever, but, you know, get the focus back on the football field, and I think that should help things out.
Well, we'll talk about Lake City, tonight's opponent, in just a little while. Up next, we'll speak with the head coach of the Sandpoint Bulldogs, Ryan Knowles. You're listening to Bulldog Football here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
For all your shopping needs, the place to go is Yolk's Fresh Market in Ponderay. They've got it all under one roof. An in-store bakery and deli, a meat department with certified Hereford beef and fresh seafood, a truly fresh produce department, your own in-house pharmacy, general everyday items for your home, office, or vehicle, a floral department, Nature's Corner, a quality natural organic food section. Yolk's is part of your life and part of our community. Yolk's Fresh Market.
All All right, we're back here on the Elks Fresh Market pregame show as we get set for kickoff against Lake City coming up in just a moment. We're talking with Coach Knowles. All right, Coach, let's go back a week ago. Whew, that was a football game, huh?
Yeah, it was a full, you know, usually on, we break down the film and there's usually about 140, 150 plays in a game, you know, offense, mm-hmm. defense, special teams, 210 plays in that game, which is amazing. You know, it was a long game. Their tempo, you know, just got them more plays. And we knew that going in. I mean, that was average for them. We got a lot more on our offense than we usually do, too. So, you know, and then just the swing of emotions throughout that game, which was, you know, if anyone that's there would truly understand. So,
It was nuts. And I wanted to ask you about that film. Obviously, you know, when we talked Friday night, you're coming off the high of just winning the game. But then, you know, you got to sit down. You watch the film. After you watch the film, how did you feel about your team's performance then?
Yeah, I mean, our offense was incredible. I mean, they were big chunks, big plays, running the ball really well. Like you know, in the games that we've been successful in, you know, we've been running the ball really well, and the pass game was efficient and some bigger plays as well. So you know, just across the board there, healthy and hitting on all cylinders, and Parker Pettit with his legs just. Opens it up for Cox to beat on people and, you know, opens up the pass game on the perimeter. And, you know, it's fun to watch. Defensively, you know, I you kind of get stuck on the yardage because mm-hmm. you know, I think after I did all the – crunched the actual numbers and take out the penalty yards, I think they had 610 yards offense, which is a ton of yards.
Oh, yes.
But the points didn't match that. You know, 35 in regulation is it's a lot, but for that offense, it's not that bad, quite honestly, because they've been scoring a lot, and I certainly have higher standards than that. But you know, you're looking at it, you get three and outs, four punts, three turnover on downs. Usually, that's a good day.
Yeah.
Usually, that's a good day.
Yeah.
But they had 14 drives in the game. You know, and what it came down to ultimately was the big plays. You know, the two big long touchdown runs, then the deep over routes that kept getting completed, which were in my opinion jump balls that they kept winning. Mm-hmm. You know, like that we had people in place, we just weren't making the plays. So, you know, as I keep talking about that game late in the second quarter and third quarter, they had all the momentum. You know, they were up by 14 and they had some big chunk plays on us. They had all the momentum, but that's where it ended for them. And it's certainly something to hang our hats on because from 34 mm-hmm. to 20, the game ended at 34-34, you know.
Yeah, and you stopped them in the last minute of the game in
correct.
Regulation when correct. All the, you know, they yes. get five more yards. They get that little closer on that. I mean, it mm-hmm. was, you know, that was, you know, probably, you know, save the 2-point conversion we'll talk about in a second. One of the biggest factors in that game, you did get the stop at right. the end when you had to have
that's
it.
Right. And made them force, you know, forced a field goal from a little bit further out. And, you know, they ended up missing it. And, you know, and then we get to overtime. So, like I say, I praise them after the game for playing complimentary football for three quarters. You know, the defense was struggling. The offense was breathing life into the team, you know. And then in the fourth quarter, everyone played tough. And, you know, we got to overtime. So
let's go to overtime. You give up the touchdown. You get the fourth down conversion and a spectacular catch on fourth down for a touchdown. From Max Frank. I mean, he just went up and got it.
Yeah, it was outstanding. Outstanding play. You know, he has great hands, and he just snatched it. And it was super close. And I actually felt during the game, I was like, man, that was a good call for us. And watching on film, it was pretty clear that he was in the end zone with possession coming out. And, you know, I thought it was a really good call. A lot of people have asked me about that one. And mm-hmm. on film, I would validate what was called.
Then you go, you know, you get to the decision, go for it, go for two. You call timeout. You end up going for two. They call timeout, and you still ran the same play, and it still worked. Was there any thought that, oh, gosh, they saw us. We've already been in motion. You know, maybe they're hip to what we're trying here?
Oh, you know, that's the offense, you know, and I have great faith in our offensive coaches and, you know, Coach Steelbar calling the perfect play at the perfect time, because that's what it comes down to. Yeah. You know, you gotta, you know, if you're gonna go for two, you better have something ready. You can't just go for two because it sounds like fun. Like, you know, you need to make an educated decision there, and that's why it actually took a little more time, because we called the timeout with the field goal team on the field, and you know, we were talking about it on the sideline, and you know, when we put all the parts together, it made more sense to go for it. They did a really good job seeing what we were going to do and calling a timeout. That's really good coaching by them, and you know, to get into what we did, and that, you know, that play that we ran is really hard to stop. You know, and there's one person that can catch that ball. You know, it's either complete or incomplete. It's pretty hard for them to intercept that ball. And you know, Ari made an amazing catch.
He did.
You know, it was, the ball was a little low, and you know, he went down and got it and secured it, and the rest was hoopla.
Pandemonium ensued.
That's right. You know, it was chaos for a little while there, which it should be. And boy, you know, to let the kids feel that experience and elation and excitement was just, you know, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. You know, you win a game, winning in that manner, you never forget it. And, you know, we got a great home field crowd, and our student body, you know, showed up and came out on the field, and, you know, we got to sing the song and ring the victory bell in a great environment. And it just, you know, like, gosh, wow.
Well,
wow.
And we get into one of the most fun and toughest weeks of the year, homecoming.
That's right. It's always tough. And, you know, we've wrapped our head around the fact that, yes, there's a lot going on, you know, powder puff on Monday night and dress up days at school and homecoming king and queen. And, you know, I just like to reiterate to the boys that, you know, homecoming's a lot more fun when you win the football game, you know, so let's make sure that we don't put the cart in front of the horse here. You know, do all that stuff. Go be a high school senior, junior, sophomore, and do all that stuff. But when we're here, we're focused, and remember that everyone in the student body would love to celebrate a win Friday night.
Well, and that, you know, Friday, you wrap up this stretch of, you know, tough schools, another 5A opponent, and, you know, a chance to go 3-1 in the 5A league, which is, you know, insane. And, you know, with the way the playoffs come out this year and with the max preps thing, you got to kind of keep winning to hold your position.
This is as important as any game we play. Yeah, we keep track of it every week and watch, and Max Preps has put us at number one right now, which, you know, is great, but it's right now. It's like watching the BCS rankings. Like, it does, you know, you can argue and place people every week, but there's still games to be played. So, you know, the ultimate factor is just win, you know, just win and stay put. And, you know, Lake City is a proud team. We got, I mean, there's no one we've spent more time with this offseason than Lake City. I mean, they've been at every 7-on-7 and every Border League camp day. And, you know, and they will be ready for everything. I mean, they, you know, so, you know, we gotta play our best football. We really do. They're proud. Their numbers are down a little bit. But you know what? That sometimes I think that's a good thing for a team to have numbers down. The guys that are there are committed and all in, which is exactly what they have.
Well, and their jerseys still say Timberwolves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we'll talk to you after the game. Good luck.
Thank you.
And we'll be back to bring you to kickoff as we wrap up the Oaks Fresh Market pregame show here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
For all your shopping needs, the place to go is Yolk's Fresh Market in Ponderay. They've got it all under one roof. An in-store bakery and deli, a meat department with certified Hereford beef and fresh seafood, a truly fresh produce department, your own in-house pharmacy, general everyday items for your home, office, or vehicle, a floral department, Nature's Corner, a quality natural organic food section. Yolk's is part of your life and part of our community. Yolk's Fresh Market.
Don't miss out on life's unforgettable moments. You have adventures waiting and challenges to tackle. And now, P1FCU can help you anywhere life takes you. If you need to make a loan payment, a simple transfer, or even apply for a loan, P1FCU's video banking has you covered. It's real banking with real people. Download the app or visit p1fcu.org to get started. P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Insured by NCUA.
Number 80. He's going to get a heat. He's the guy, number 80, Johnson.
And we're back, getting ready for kickoff here on Rock 103 and North Idaho's Radio. And that means that the rumble of the Interstate Concrete Trucks that have been around Sandpoint for more than 30 years, and that's how long Interstate Concrete has sponsored Sandpoint High School Bulldog Football Interstate, bringing you the opening kickoff here on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio. Okay, Jay, let's turn our attention now to the Timberwolves. A little different scene than we're used to. They got a lot of guys over there, but they don't have a JV program right now. Things are not as highly rated as they have been in the past for Lake City, but still a dangerous opponent here. The Bulldogs definitely can't take lightly.
Oh, no, these guys know each other well, Chris. You know, they battle each other in you know, in spring football, and you know, then summer 7-on-7 Skelly, and you know, these guys are not strangers by no means. You know, obviously, you know, the head coach Fulp he's got his hands full. You know, there's you got all these incoming freshmen. They're choosing to go to, you know, Coeur d'Alene or yep. Post Falls in that open enrollment system. So that's, you know, they're a little down. But you know what? They're not short on talent over there by no means. They've got some guys that can flat out play. And, you know, and probably the number one recruit in junior class, maybe behind Parker Pettit, is this kid named Zach Johnson. He's a 6'3", tight end, wide receiver, running back. He's going to be all over the place tonight. And he's one of the fastest kids in the state of Idaho. He's going to be a beast. And you know, if the Bulldogs can contain Zach Johnson, you know, good things are going to happen for this Bulldog defense.
Well, you know, we talked about how the Bulldogs on the defensive line, they're down to backups and backups of backups. You know, Will Hurst is out. You know, Blake Sherrill is out.
Levi Ballison's out.
Levi Ballison is out. So, you know, it's one of the things that the Bulldogs have had a rough go at for on defense is they haven't got a ton of pressure on the opposing team's quarterback. How do you do that when you're working with your second string and beyond?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think that's, you know, we talk about the struggles of the secondary. You know, again, that kind of starts up front, too, and being able to pressure the quarterback. And through the last 3 weeks, you know, the quarterbacks have really had their way in time to look for receivers open downfield. And again, you know, you're asking a lot for your DBs to sit there and stay with a wide receiver for, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds when he can just kind of sit back there and hang out and wait for his receiver to come open.
All right, well, the Bulldogs will be kicking off, headed from right to left across your radio dial towards the northern end of Barlow Stadium, War Memorial Field. Back deep to receive, Braden Ross, number 23, number 31, John Pickering. That is, if Las Kuhn somehow doesn't kick it through the end zone, which I think he's got a pretty good record on the opening kickoff of getting that done so far this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Chris. I think he's maybe only had 3 or 4 returns on the season so far.
So the officials give the go-ahead, and here we go. Football underway tonight. Glad you're along with us. And there is a kick that's going to go into the end zone and through. And at the 20, that's where Lake City's offense will start, brought to you by their quarterback, Junior Jackson Pettit, which will only confuse me throughout the game. I promise you that.
Yeah, we're going to hear a lot of Pettit in the backfield.
Having watched a Pettit, coached a Jackson Pettit, and now a Parker Pettit, and then the other guys have a Jackson Pettit.
Yeah,
it's a recipe for a play-by-play disaster, I can tell you that right now.
You're going to be fine.
So here comes Lake City out. They will show up with 4 wides, 1 back. Everybody runs this spread pistol thing practically, it seems. And it's Pettit and his running back, Kyrus Condon. They send a man in motion. It's trips on the near side. And back to pass Pettit. Pettit going deep first play. It's up and incomplete. And a nice job out there for the most part by the Bulldog backer on that side, Jay, as the ball was a little overthrown and almost playing center field that time was McCorkle.
Yeah, good job right there. You know, McCorkle's, you know, I'm interested to see if McCorkle's going to shadow Johnson all night. Is again, you know, Lake City not going to be bashful who they want the ball, where they want the ball to go, and who to throw it to. As that ball was hung up there by Pettit, and good job on the defense there by McCorkle.
So trips on the near side now once again for Lake City. They pitch it. Looking for running room is Condon, the running back. He's pretty fast. He's got a lot of running room as he spits and gets his way right through the middle, almost to the 30. That's going to be a gain of are they going to give him the first?
No, he's going to be, yeah.
Yep, they're going to give it to him. 10 yards and a first down.
That looked
on
like
that.
Number 23, Ross, Chris.
Did it? Okay, Braden Ross.
So. Number 23.
Yes, 23. You're correct.
Yeah, again, good job right there. Just toss it out to the left side, and he just kind of waits and sees a hole back open into the middle, and he takes advantage of it and gets into that second level and before Wes Benefield can make the tackle.
So four wides, one back, straight handoff up the middle. Again, switching gears is Ross. He gets maybe six on this one, and he's done a pretty interesting thing there. He gets to the line of scrimmage, almost Le'Veon Bell-like, stops, looks for a hole, and then explodes into it.
Yeah, again, that's that defensive front there. It looks like we got Levi Balson out there, which is that number two out there at the right side?
It is.
That's good to have him back. He was ill last game. But, again, it's a really key to these Bulldogs defenses, stay in their gaps and not allow those cutback runs. They're 16 yards on two of them so far by Ross.
This time they try to run it to the outside, and it's not happening as Lane Dunkel is there to turn it right back inside. And it's a loss on the play with Garrett Cox picking up the tackle.
Yeah, Garrett Cox, and I didn't get at number 30, I think, for the Bulldogs in there. Dakota Wilson, who's filling in for big shoes there for the injured Will Hurst.
Yeah, no kidding. So that makes it 3rd and 10 after the 6-yard gain, a 6-yard loss on second down. So 3rd and 10, see if the Bulldog defense can get off the field here on this first possession.
Now you got
Pettit looking for a receiver, trying to run. He's got some room. He's looking for first down yardage. He's not going to get there as he's tackled right at the 30. So he gets a couple, and a nice job by McCorkle there to bring him down. Wimmer also over there, and the Bulldog defense holds, and Lake City's forced to punt.
Yeah, good job right there. Some pressure again that time brought from Garrett Cox off that left end, Chris, and he does a good job of getting in behind Pettit and forces him to the right, and good job covering downfield, forces Pettit to keep it, and the Bulldogs hopefully getting out off the field here and get the ball in the offense hands.
Looks like it is Condon to do the punting. And this kick is a high, very short kick that is going to hit at the 40, take a bounce for Lake City down to the 30, still rolling on the turf to the 28, 29-yard line. That's where the Bulldogs will take over. No score, 9:14 left. This not-yet-scoring update brought to you by 7BTV, your authorized dish retailer, locally owned and operated and ready to help you, a proud sponsor of Bulldog Sports. All right, Jay, what is Lake City's defense, you think? What's their strength from what you've been able to hear and surmise?
You know, speed. You know, they're gonna speed you. They're going to cover the flats. You know, you're going to look – you know, the Bulldogs like to swing those little out patterns, and they're going to try to take that away and force you to go up the middle over the top. I think you're going to look for a big night for Garrett Cox here. If that offensive line can open some holes, you're going to see a big douse of Garrett Cox tonight running the football.
Well, Cox is going to roll out. They're going to throw the screen to Vandenberg on the far side. He breaks a tackle. He's got about five, and he's going to get out to the 34-yard line. Running through the first tackle, it'll be second down and five. Probably a pretty good weekend at the old Vandenberg house last weekend, huh, Jay?
I tell you, it was a little up and down. You know, my son was a redemption. You know, he had a couple drops there. You know, one was costly, but to be able to come back and have redemption really made up for. You know, I think he was a little disappointed himself. So, but yes, we were very excited for him.
So second and five, and I think we've got into the neutral zone. It's going to be the Lake City Timberwolves. So the Bulldogs will get a free first down out of this one. So out to the 39-yard line. That's enough for a first down. Bulldogs get the first one by penalty. On the near side for the Bulldogs at the wide receiver position, Connor Hindberg and Nathan Robert. It's Frank and Vandenberg right now standing on the near side in the slot, I think. Yes?
Yeah, Vandenberg's in that little slot position there. Look for Cox here to run this football.
The handoff comes to Cox. He runs right behind where Vandenberg was and gets a nice four on first down. Second and six coming up just underway here. First quarter on Rock 103, North Idaho's radio, and on our websites as well. You can take us anywhere you want. Rock103FM.com, NorthIdahoRadio.com. There's no excuse to not be listening to Bulldog football on a Friday night, except for next Friday because we don't have a game. Pettit back looking, throwing. He's got a man. It's Frank. Frank breaks a tackle. He's at the 50s, across the 50s, knocked out of bounds at about the 47-yard line. So that's a nice 13, 14 yards, and the Bulldogs' offense looks pretty good early.
Boy, looking sharp right there. Again, just one-on-one coverage there on Frank to the outside, and he just beats him on that little five-yard out, and they're able to outrun him and pick up about 8 yards after that catch. Good throw by Pettit.
So Bulldogs now close in tight. Timberwolves do as well. They hand it off up the middle and to the up back, and that is going to be Cox as he grinds forward for three, submarining his way through the defense.
Well, you know, that T formation that, worked so well against Post Falls, really the teams have really kind of, zoomed in on that. It hasn't been as successful as the first time that they showcased that in that first game.
So second down and eight after the short gain on first down. Bulldogs at the Timberwolves 40. Another handoff, this out of the regular formation, and Cox is in the middle. He breaks a tackle. He's at the 30. Garrett Cox is gone. 10-5. Bulldog touchdown right up the gut, and some great blocking by that offensive line. And then Garrett Cox made the safety miss.
Boy, absolutely. Again, they bring Vandenberg across the line. He gets the kick out, but a great job by Laybourne and Durrell up front. And Cox does the rest. He finds the hole. He hits it and then he's always going to make the first guy miss. You're not tackling with one guy. And Cox takes it to the house. Bulldogs offense off to a great start.
So the Bulldogs get the 40-yard gain on first. What was that? 42-yard touchdown run. Thank you. Mr. Burke, Barry doing the stats. Extra point up and good. Bulldogs jump out 7-0. We'll be back after this on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio.
Sun Rental Center has been consistently reliable since 1979. Whether you're a large contractor or a homeowner with an important project, Sun Rental Center is your number one call for equipment rental and services. They go the extra mile, offering hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and longer rental options with industry-standard products from John Deere, Doosan, Genie, JLG, Multiquip, Ditch Witch, Makita, Honda, Steel, and more. Sun Rental Center is open in Sandpoint Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
All right, Chris Chatburn, Jay Vandenberg, Barry Burke on the stats tonight as we bring you Bulldog football. Bulldogs kicking it off again as Las Coon getting set to trigger it deep with the Lake City returner standing on the end line in what the Bulldogs are hoping is a vain hope that they get to return it. And this one is into the end zone once again. And at the 20, that's where the Timberwolves will take over on offense.
Boy, what a weapon. In all my years of watching, Sandpoint football, this is the first time I've seen we've had somebody that can do that so consistently.
Yeah, it's a surprise when it doesn't go into the end zone,
right,
frankly.
Yep. Right. I think two of them, he's kind of shanked them and put them out of bounds. And maybe another one came up short and they got a return. But what a weapon. And we get this transfer in at the last second. He says, hey, coach, I can kick the ball. And, boy, he can't.
Always nice when you get those transfers. So here we go. Jackson Pettit and the offense back on the field for the Timberwolves. The snap is up and over Pettit's head, and he's going to be sacked at about the 7. The snap too high, and the Timberwolves are facing a big deficit as that one's going to be marked from the 20 all the way back to the 7, 8-yard line. So we'll call that second and 22.
Yeah, I was going to say, those snaps have been coming a little high to Pettit there the first series, Chris. And boy, that one just went a little higher and through the hands of Pettit. And the Bulldogs defense gets a big break. It's Dunkel right there to make the big tackle on Pettit.
There's another high one, but this one is corralled. And there's a run up the middle that's going to get out to about the 10. So it's going to be third down now and 20. And that snap as well. And this Jackson Pettit, pretty tall.
Yes, he's tall and slender. Boy, nice job right there by Benefield. Getting off his blocker and comes up and makes a tackle. Gives up, Bulldogs give up, what, about 3 or 4 yards on that game?
Yeah, they call it a gain of 3. So third down now and 19 for the Timberwolves. Trips to the far side. One back. Pettit Looking. Nowhere to throw. Now he thinks he's going to run. Finally, he dumps it off and out of bounds. Not even close to anyone. So the Bulldog defense holds again, and Sandpoint should get pretty good field position out of this one with 5:52 left in this first quarter, leading it 7-0.
Well, yeah, again, nice job by that secondary, Chris. Is, you know, we can talk about the struggles, but so far, doing a great job of just nobody open, nowhere to go down the field. Is, you know, Pettit's looking, had some time, not a lot of pressure by that front three by the Bulldogs, but no need to, as that the secondary does their job and forces Lake City another punt.
So this time out of his own end zone, it's going to be Condon. Kick is away. This is a good one, and it's going to be fielded by Cox back at the 45-yard line. He's looking for a return. He breaks a tackle. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's back to the 38-yard line. And I don't know who made the cutback block on that one, Jay, but the Bulldog did a great job of not laying out the guy chasing Cox and picking up a penalty. Just kind of got in his way.
It was McCorkle. It looked like it was McCorkle. He kind of got back there and saw as Cox fielded the ball, just kind of waited. He didn't move and didn't make the attempt to go at him, waiting for him to come. He gave him a good little chuck. But, boy, Garrett Cox does a great job of catching the ball and then finding that seam. And the Bulldogs, great field position here on their second series.
Yeah, that's that blindside block that can get a penalty really quick if you really lay him out because they can't see you coming. So the Bulldogs already set up on Lake City's 39-yard line. Looks like it's Wimmer in there right now at tailback for the Bulldogs. And it's a handoff to Wimmer. He cuts inside. He makes a nice move. He's got about eight. We'll see where they mark him down. It's going to be the 31. So it'll be second down and two for the Bulldogs.
Boy, nice little stretch play out to the right side behind Chapman and Smith. And, boy, he gets the edge there. And then all of a sudden he's got one guy, and he cuts up the middle and makes number seven for the Timberwolves. Queen pay for it as he ends up reaching, and he's holding his arm there. He took a shot by the hard-running Wimmer.
Bulldogs have Kuhn in at wide receiver on the near side right now. Pettit feigns the snap. Bulldogs readjust. Everyone looks to the sidelines. Second and short. And Pettit back to pass. Looking. Going deep. He's got a man out there. It is knocked down. Good defense from the safety on the far side. Knocked away by number three, Josiah Weaver. It's going to be third and short.
Yeah, you know, Josiah Weaver, he's kind of that senior. He was the quarterback to start the season. Taking over for Chris Irvin, who was a three-year starter at Lake City. Tough place, but, you know, they see his value on defense, and he does a great job getting over the top and breaking that ball up.
So the Bulldogs at third and three, one would imagine, sitting on the 31-yard line, barring calamity, would be in four-down territory. Pettit takes it up the middle. He's going to get close to a first down, but I think he's going to come up short. They'll give him two, so it's going to be fourth and one right at about the 30-yard line.
Boy, yeah, just that play action fake there, or the fake handoff to Cox going to the right, just didn't fool that middle linebacker. He just eyeballs Parker Pettit and stands his ground, and no blocking at that second level for the Bulldogs, and puts him in this fourth down and short.
So fourth and short, Pettit comes in, drives forward, going for the quarterback sneak. It's going to be close. Ball at the 30, I'll call it 29, probably just enough for the first down.
Yeah, they're going to put up just over the 29 here.
That should be a first down. The referee eyes it up, and the Bulldogs have the first down. So a fresh set of downs, ball in the near hash mark. Actually, now they stick it back to the middle of the field. Clock rolls with 4:11 left here in the first quarter. Frank and Vandenberg on the near side. On the far side, it's Kuhn and Robert. And it's Garrett Cox in the backfield with Parker Pettit. Fake handoff, looking, throwing. No, Parker has to eat it because the coverage is pretty good, and Pettit's going to get snapped down for a loss. Once again, trying to go deep to Ari Vandenberg, and right now it looks like the Timberwolves kind of just sitting back in a zone waiting for the receivers to run through there.
Yeah, they're not bringing any pressure. They're just going to kind of try to handle that line of scrimmage. They're kind of just flattening everything out, Chris. And again, a little stop and go by Vandenberg as they look that way. But still pretty well covered at second level there by Zach Johnson for Timberwolves.
So after the loss of four, it'll be second down and 14. Pettit back looking, trying to set up the screen to Cox. He's got it. Cox is at the 30. He's at the 20. He's got a block. He's into the end zone. Nice job downfield for the Bulldogs. Carson Laybourn put a nice block on the one guy who had a chance, and the Bulldogs go up 13 to nothing.
Boy, yeah, pretty well executed. Lake City Timberwolves just didn't react soon enough, as the Bulldogs have really made teams pay for pay for on that play. As Cox gets another one of those long receiving touchdowns, just something simple, but he's able to take it to the house.
Pretty much untouched for 34. Extra point is up, and it is good as well. Bulldogs lead at 14-0. We'll be back with more football here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
It's always so exciting to taste the newest vintage of wines being made here at the Pondere Winery. All our 2020 Merlot grapes have been crushed, and we anticipate they will produce another award-winning wine similar to the 2019 Merlot, October's Wine of the Month. The 2019 Merlot received a double gold medal from the Washington Wine Festival and a gold medal from the Sommelier's Choice Competition in San Francisco. Come have a bottle and pair it with one of our many delicious creations from our kitchen. Fall is a wonderful time to be a wine drinker, so come see us for an enjoyable evening at the Pondere Winery.
School is back in session, and the folks at the Dairy Depot want to remind you to drive carefully around school zones and make the Dairy Depot your one-stop shop for your game day snacks, beer, and pop on the Dover Highway in Sandpoint. The Dairy Depot.
All right, we've got 3 minutes and 10 seconds left in the first quarter, and Jay, the Bulldogs should well know that going up 14-0 doesn't really mean a lot. They've got to keep their foot on the pedal.
Keep the foot on the pedal, Chris. And yeah, but that defense is off to a pretty strong start. And the offense looks like they're clicking on all cylinders.
Kuhn, this one is going to bounce out of bounds at about the one. So Lake City's going to get pretty good field position, and that's the one off the side of the foot you were just talking about.
Yeah, you know, he has a tendency, you know, he just really goes hard at that ball. And sometimes, you know, you pull your head a little too early and those hips open up and boom, you're not hitting the ball square, and that thing's going to hook hard left. And almost got it there, but it looks like it bounced out of bounds about on the 4-yard line.
So at the 35, Lake City's best starting field position. And the furthest they've made it out, I think. I think they had to punt it from the 30, their first possession. Obviously deep last time. So here they come, third possession for the Timberwolves. They've got Zach Johnson in the backfield this time, and they're going to hand it to him. Johnson goes up the middle, breaks a tackle, and is going to be brought down after a gain of about six. Benefield there on the stop. And it'll be second down and four.
Yeah, again, they're going to move him around and find ways to get him the ball. That's his first opportunity, ball in his hands. And, boy, he did a good job of getting back there and uses his speed. You can see the speed of the kid. He hits the ground, running, and picks up 6 yards.
So Timberwolves out of the huddle, up to the line. Once again, Johnson in the backfield. Four wides for Lake City in their white and silvery old-time Cowboys-esque looking. There's a pitch this time to Johnson on the outside. He stiff arms a Bulldog, and there's going to be a run out of bounds by Wimmer after a gain of three. So third down coming up for the Timberwolves at the 43, 44-yard line.
Just a pitch left. You know, they got the blockers out there. The Bulldogs do a good job of limiting a big play there as, you know, Johnson just runs out of room and pushed out of bounds there by Owen Wimmer, getting his second start of this season.
So third down now, a short two for the Timberwolves. Handoff, oh, it's a misdirection. Quarterback keeps it. He's going to get a first down. Looked like there was a little mishandle, but the quarterback probably just kept that one as the Bulldogs really, really went after the running back on that third and short.
Boy, yeah, he handed off the running back. They're going to get thrown for a big loss there, but a good play there by Pettit. He keeps it, almost loses it. Able to find a nice little seam. Not much. Picks up 4 yards and a first down.
So the ball out to the Lake City 47-yard line with a fresh set of downs. 2 minutes, 4 seconds left here. Bulldogs up 14-0. Option play goes just about nowhere. Maybe a loss of one on that play. And this scoring update here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103 brought to you by Sun Rental. Proud supporter of the Bulldogs since 1979. They rent everything under the sun.
Well, yeah, the Bulldogs, you know, he keeps that. He fakes the option out to Johnson to the outside and keeps it in the middle. But he got tattooed there by a Bulldog. He didn't get the number, but he comes up a little gimpy. Pettit does. And, you know, this, you know, looking at the numbers there, you know, it doesn't look like the Timberwolves have a whole lot of depth over there. So you got to watch this quarterback and see if he can sustain some of this beating he's going to get if he's got
to be. Trips to the near side, another miscommunication and a tough catch on the pass. On the snap, excuse me, there's a pass that's good for about 7 yards, eight maybe. It's going to be another third and three as the receiver out there was number 81, Justin Hill, and he got nailed as soon as he caught it.
Boy, yeah, just again, slow developing play. He just kind of sits there and allows Cody Steiger to read it. Cody Steiger comes up from that safety position and does what a free safety does. He catches it, and he doesn't make sure he doesn't go any further than where he went.
So third down and three, Timberwolves. Into Bulldog territory for the first time tonight, Jackson Pettit. He's got Zach Johnson in the backfield behind him. Hand off to Johnson. He gets to the outside. He breaks a tackle. He's got a lot of room. He's inside the 30, and he's finally knocked out of bounds at the 29-yard line. The run around the outside successful for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, again, you know, they're going to get the ball in Johnson's hands, and he does a good job. You know, not a whole lot of defenders off of that weak side for the Bulldogs. Kind of, they had the same problems last week against Hepburn and the Lewiston Bengals. They gave up big plays, and again, you know, Johnson makes the first guy miss and has some pretty decent block and is able to turn the corner and pick up a big play and a big first down here for the Timberwolves.
So the Timberwolves nearing the Bulldogs red zone for the first time tonight as we near the end of this first quarter. Johnson this time right next to Jackson Pettit. The Lake City quarterback sends Johnson in motion, and
that's
then flags fly as we have too many guys in motion at one time, and it's going to mark Lake City back 5, and it'll be first and 15.
Yeah, again, that time they put Johnson in motion to the left side. No Bulldog. You know, it looks like it was going to be a pretty easy little swing pass out to Johnson. Again, nobody follows Johnson out to that flat area, but Lake City just kind of sees it and jumps too early and go back 5 yards here.
So the ball at the 34-yard line now for Lake City, first and 15. It's Pettit and Jackson in the backfield, or Johnson, excuse me, in the backfield. Pettit looking, throwing, pass caught on the slant. Pretty easy 10-yard pitch and catch there to the near side once again to Hill.
Yeah, just an easy slant there against Barlow, and a little late to, you know, this, you know, you're going to take what you give them. You're going to give them the inside, they're going to take the inside. Give them the outside, they're going to take the outside. As again, Hill that time does a good job of reading that, and there's really a pretty soft middle there for that against that Bulldog defense. Nobody there.
So second and 5 coming up when the second quarter gets underway. Bulldogs lead at 14-0 here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant is looking for hardworking, motivated, community-minded individuals to join their team. They have immediate openings for kitchen staff and servers. If you're interested in Jalapeno's team, apply in person at Jalapeno's on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint. Available for immediate interview, sign-on bonus, stay-on bonus, competitive pay, and a great work environment. Jalapeno's is open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Also great for takeout.
And the sponsor of our Jalapeno stat page coming up at halftime and after the game. Bulldogs leading at 14-0, but Lake City now inside the 25 at the 24, facing a second down and 5. Handoff right up the middle, and this one is snuffed out, and there is a loss on the play as they handed it off that time once again to the running back, I think Ross, and Ross went backwards for 2.
Yeah, good job. I think that was McCorkle coming in there and making a nice stop Right when the ball, right when the running back caught the ball in the backfield, they tried to go to the left side there, and the defense not having any of that.
So third and seven now for Lake City. Sitting at the Bulldog 26-yard line. Ross in the backfield.
And again, look for Lake City to look to the heel off to that right side, one-on-one with Barlow.
Back to pass. They throw it. It is incomplete. Trying to get it to Johnson out of the slot, and Wes Benefield was there to make sure that that one went nowhere. Even if he caught it, it was going to be a no gain.
Yeah, you know, there's one guy that Johnson is, you know, is going to notice and see probably a lot tonight, and that's Wes Benefield. And you know, that kid works hard, and he's kind of the heart of this defense at the middle linebacker. I mean, he's making 16, 20 tackles a game for this Bulldog defense, and he seems to be everywhere. Really came a long way from his sophomore year to his junior. He's now that captain of that defense, and always in the right place at the right time.
So it's going to be fourth down now and seven for Lake City. Obviously, down 14 on your opponent's 26. They're going for it. See if the Bulldog defense can get a stop here. They put Johnson out wide on the far side. They're looking his way. The throw comes to Johnson. He snags it out of the air. Pretty good coverage by McCorkle, but Johnson went up high to bring it in at the 15-yard line. They'll mark him about the 17.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Bulldogs don't give him a little help on over the top there and bring roll the one over there, because you know once he goes out to by himself, they're gonna look his way. He's that kind of a threat, and boy, good throw that time by Pettit to Johnson.
So Johnson this time in at tight end with trips to the far side and Ross in the backfield. Pettit looking, trying to throw it to Johnson again over in the corner, and he is closely guarded. It's thrown away and out of bounds. It'll be second down and 10.
Boy, good job that time. As they, again, lining Johnson up all over the field, Chris.
Yes,
tight
they are.
End, slot, running back. Boy, putting him in all different places, and the Bulldogs doing a good job of finding out where he's at. And that ball just outthrown, but really well covered there by the Bulldogs.
So second and 10, 10:45 left here in this second quarter. Glad you're along with us for Bulldog football. Bulldogs looking to make it 3-1 against the 5A's this season. Man in motion is Hill. Another high snap. Hanoff up the middle goes nowhere. Nice job. Great tackle there. Looked like Wimmer just shot in and tackled him for no gain.
Yeah, boy, that was Wimmer. That's a great read there by Wimmer. Once he sees it, man, he fires like a missile and does a good job of tackling up Ross.
Bulldogs leading at 14-0, and this scoring update is brought to you by Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant. For the finest Mexican food on 2nd Avenue and Sandpoint, now with a convenient pickup window. Third down. Bulldog defense trying to keep the goose egg on the board for the Timberwolves. Again, looking down the middle, trying to get it to the big receiver. It's incomplete. That time Hill, the intended receiver, and a flag comes in late.
Well, I don't know about that. That was real late.
They're going to flag the Bulldogs for the hit on the receiver after the ball had gone through. That wasn't much of a hit, that's for sure.
Boy, everybody else looking around there. Hopefully they bring everybody in there and say there's nothing there.
Yeah, that rarely happens.
It rarely happens. Especially, that's not your play. That's not your call. You're over on the sidelines on the outside, and you're trying to make a play, a call, back into the middle of the field where you have two other line, back judges over there. Now, that's their area.
So the referee conference continues, and they will pick it up. So sanity reigns.
Yeah, get out of my – I'm all over this play. You don't need to throw my flag. If I see something, I'll let you know. That's good. A big break there for the Bulldogs.
That's right.
Lake City's fourth and long here, and looks like they're gonna go for it. No trust in their kicker, and the Bulldogs defense is a big opportunity here to get off the field here on fourth down and 10. And look for the Timberwolves to look at Johnson again, find out where he's at.
Timberwolves going to have to call a timeout. We will keep it here with 10:02 left and remind you that we have the Columbia Bank Halftime Show coming your way featuring the stat page. And it is homecoming, so it will be an extended halftime show, more than likely, as the homecoming court is unveiled amongst other activities.
Yeah, how does that work? My wife and I were talking about that. Does anybody know who it is, or is it? How does that work with the homecoming court, with the school and the kids, and do you have?
I don't know. Yeah. We'll find out.
I'm so far removed. I'm pretty sure
that they don't drive cars on this fancy new field.
You're probably right on that.
Like they used to. There'll be no parade of hot rods. So the timeout is over, and we are set for this big fourth down play. Already one fourth down completed, and Jay, you're right. They've got old Johnson out there on the far side with
Luke
McCorkle.
Yeah, you've got to cheat somebody over the top there. Just take him out of the game. Make somebody else beat you.
They're looking that way. They throw it deep into the end zone. It is caught for a touchdown.
Yeah, I tell you, all day long.
And McCorkle actually did a pretty good job hand fighting him. I think they're going to call pass interference on the Bulldogs, which will be declined. But that's a touchdown for Lake City as they go to their big guy over there.
Yeah, I know Coach Knowles knows what's going on, and you know where the ball's going to go. They got him lined up one-on-one. Roll your safety over the top and make somebody else beat you to the weak side. And Johnson's that good of an athlete. He's one of the top-ranked receivers in the Pacific Northwest, and he proves it right there as he works through the PI and still comes down with the ball.
So the extra point forthcoming for number two, Kyrus Condon. Snap is good. Kick is up. It is...
it's going to be good.
Well, it's just enough, let's say, to go up and over the bar. 14-7 Bulldogs. Timeout on the field. We'll be back with more after this on Rock 103 in North Idaho's radio.
Sandpoint Superdrug is conveniently open 7 days a week with all the essentials you need. Stop by their pharmacy, immune support area, nutrition center, or shop for household and hardware items. You can always call ahead to order your prescriptions online. They have in-store pickup, free in-town delivery, and curbside pickup. In their expanded hardware department, you'll find the things that you need for all of your home projects. Ask about their contractor discounts. Sandpoint Superdrug is here to help. Located on 5th Avenue in Sandpoint.
As a member of the Sandpoint business community since 1963, Lighthouse Foods is a proud supporter of Bulldog Sports. Since the beginning, Lighthouse has been committed to investing in and having a positive impact on its employees and the communities in which it operates. Proud to be 100% employee-owned, Lighthouse has been named Best Workplace and Best Innovative Manufacturer in Bonner County. Interested in starting a new career? Go online to lighthousefoods.com for a list of current job openings.
And we're back here at Barlow Stadium as Lake City's getting set to kick it away from the 45. So, obviously, some sort of penalty situation against the Bulldogs. And the kick sails easily into the end zone, and the Bulldogs will take over on the 20-yard line. So, imperative for the offense to get another drive going here and put some more points on the board.
Absolutely, Chris. This is, again, like you said, we've been down 14 points many of a time. Now the Bulldogs' offense is going to have to kind of, regain this momentum and sustain a drive and get it down the field. So far Lake City hasn't been able to contain this Bulldog offense, but again, this is where you want this, now the offense needs to come out and help out the defense here.
Yeah, it's where you need a big dose of Garrett Cox just rolling him over. So let's see what the Bulldogs do on first down with their four wides. And Pettit takes the snap, fakes the handoff, gets it out to Frank on the screen. He cuts inside. He's got a first down. He's out to the 35-yard line. And that's going to be a gain of 15 on first down and a Bulldog first down and 10.
Yeah, good job right there. Vandenberg just comes up, does a great job of blocking on number five, Garofalo, and allows Frank to work his way back to the middle and pick up 15 yards. So well blocked, well executed play there for the Bulldogs.
So the Bulldogs again put their wing tee in action, hand it off to Cox up the middle. Cox drives forward. He's got a nice gain. It's about 7 on first down out to the 42, and it'll be 2nd and 3. Nice push by the offensive line there.
Well, it was a nice push there. Again, just bottled up in there. And again, just that quick hitter to Cox. And, I believe it was Austin Smith. And, and Chapman and Stockton just doing their job of just bowling down the defensive line and creating some room for Cox to run.
That's right. Last week's players of the game showing up there. There's another hand up to Cox. He's got a room. He's at the 50. He breaks it to the 45-yard line. Another nice block on the outside, this time by Max Frank. And it's another Bulldog first down as they are chewing up some big grains on the ground.
Boy, I tell you what, they are. Good job again off that right side, Chris. And, boy, I love how Parker Pettit just holds that ball in there and it just freezes that linebacker just a second. And once he pulls it, you know, Pettit's got that – or Cox got that great burst of speed, and that linebacker's kind of stuck inside, and Cox is able to pick up big yards.
So the Bulldogs already up to the 45-yard line. Now the screen play, Cox. He gets a block. He's to the outside. He's wrestled down by his helmet. Bulldogs want a penalty. They're not going to get it, but it's still a 7-8 yard gain on first down.
Boy, yeah, just, you know, Frank had a, you know, he had that block on him, and he just isn't able to hold off Garofalo. And boy, but that's a big play if Frank does a little bit better job blocking on that outside as Cox didn't got the full head of steam down the sideline.
Yeah, one block away from being another touchdown. But here we go on 2nd and 3. Pettit runs the option. Now drops back to pass. Throws
That's
it across the middle, looking for Vandenberg. And there was a lot of white shirts around there. Incomplete, and luckily so for the Bulldogs.
Boy, yeah, tough spot to throw that football. Again, you'd like to see the receiver kind of settle down in there and not run into that into the defender. You know, but I know – you know, you anticipate the receiver can kind of finish that route, but you'd like to see him be able to break that off and kind of go to that soft area.
Settle in that zone that Lake City's got going there. They throw it on the outside through the hands of the intended receiver. That was a bullet intended for Robert that's incomplete, and it's going to be 4th down and 3 for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Robert's got to catch that ball. He's wide open. Nobody's even paying attention. You know, again, the Bulldogs are so pass heavy to Vandenberg and Frank. They don't very seldomly throw it to that weak side, and Robert's wide open. It's just a catch. That's an easy first down, and then more.
So 4th and 3. Let's see what the Bulldogs do here. 7:53 remaining in this second quarter. Bulldogs inside the 40, run the option. Pettit goes for the first down. He's got it. Inside the 35, down to the 32. Bulldogs run the option, and it's usually a pretty good option when Pettit keeps it on that play.
Again, my hat's off to Chapman and Smith. They do a good job of just creating a little space. It makes that read for Pettit pretty easy. As a nice hole generates that right side, and he picks it, and he knows he's going to get that 3 yards of first down, and he gets a couple extras. So a good job there by that offensive line and Parker Pettit.
Yeah, he could have kept it. He could have pitched it. Either one would have made it. So 1st and 10 Bulldogs after they complete the 4th down. Now the handoff to Cox. Cox tries to get to the outside. He breaks a tackle. He's coming back the other way, and the Bulldogs are going to block in the back. And he runs inside the 10, but forget any of that. The Bulldogs are going to be hit with the block in the back on the reversal of field.
Well, that was Frank, you know, and he had the guy tied up, but the guy got away from him, and then he tries to go back and find him, and that's when you just got to stand there, you know. Be the mirror.
So the Bulldogs will be knocked backwards from the 30, it looks like, where they're going to put this one. So that'll kick them back a ways and make it 1st down and long.
Boy, that play was all set up for Cox. That was another nice play call there by Coach Leobar. Everything what you wanted happened. Just a costly penalty. The first mistake, pretty big mistake there by the Bulldog offense.
Yeah, that's a 15-yarder, and it's all the way back to the 43. So the Bulldogs looking at 1st and 21. Bulldogs this time run 3 wides to the far side. Max Frank on the near side. Final signals coming in. Glad you're along with us. Chris Chatburn, Jay Vandenberg, Barry Burke on the stats. Pettit looking. Tries to get away and finally does. Still on his feet. Now he's going to be tackled for a loss. And a play. Bulldogs really trying to go deep, and there was nothing there for for Parker to throw it into.
Yeah, Max Frank falls down on his route. He's got the man beat. They're going to throw it to him, and he just falls down on the field. And And that creates a negative play for the Sandpoint Bulldogs. You got to stay on your feet. You can't just be falling down. So, and boy, that costs the Bulldogs big, because that was a big play looking that was going to happen there.
So second down and now 24 for the Bulldogs. Pettit rolling to the near side, looking, trying to throw it. Throws it across the middle. Dangerous pass. Looks like he had Frank open deep on the cross, but tried to get it to Vandenberg. And, again, a lot of traffic around that football.
Boy, yeah, just the linebackers just, you know, they do a good job of flattening it out. There's nothing open short. They just got a nice mirror. So now everybody's just looking, reading the quarterback's eyes as he tries to throw it to Vandenberg coming back across. And boy, that outside linebacker, strong safety, just kind of sits there and almost comes up with a big pick.
So third down and long. That block in the back really hindering the Bulldogs' chances on this drive. See if they can get some yardage. Back to pass, Pettit throwing. He's got a man open. It's Vandenberg. He's going to get tackled at the 38. So a short gain, and it's going to be fourth down and still pretty long. Bulldogs, I'm anticipating the Parker Pettit pooch punt towards the coffin corner.
Yeah, I believe that's, you know, with no punter, that's my call, too.
Bulldogs definitely don't want to give it to him all the way out here on the outside the 35. The only score that Lake City has was on a play when they started at the 35 off of the kickoff out of bounds. Pettit, no, they're going for it. Bulldogs trying to get it in. Max Frank makes the catch at the 18-yard line for a first down. Well, I guess, you know what? You line up like you're going to pooch punt it, and then eventually you're going to go for it, and that was the Bulldogs' giant time to do it. And what a great throw and catch that time by the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's a nice little play action there. Freezes that linebacker and allows Frank to work down deep the middle. And, boy, good blocking by that offensive line. Gives Parker Pettit to throw, look downfield and throw to a which opened Max Frank.
Yeah, fourth and 16. That's a crusher as the Bulldogs try to get it right off the right side to Garrett Cox. He might get a couple off of that one. With 4:55 remaining in this first half of play, Bulldogs trying to go up 14 once again. This scoring update with Sandpoint leading at 14-7, brought to you by 7BTV, your authorized dish retailer, locally owned and operated, and ready to help you. A proud sponsor of Bulldog Sports. So they say no gain, second and 10. 4.5 when this one snapped, or less, as the Bulldogs will now look over to the sidelines, get the final signals. Garrett Cox will shift to the right of Parker Pettit. Pettit hands it off to Cox. He's got a hole up the middle. He's on his feet inside the 15. He's down to about the 14. That's going to bring up a third down and 3.
Boy, yeah, just a shoestring tackle there by, boy, the middle linebacker there for the Timberwolves. As again, Cox gets a nice opening up the middle behind Ben Stockton and Carson Laybourne, and almost gets it outside into the end zone. But, boy, nice tackle there at the feet by the Timberwolves.
Third down, Bulldogs. Looking to get one in with 3:45 left. Timberwolves shift on the defensive line. Pettit rolls, pitches, tries to get it outside to Cox, and he goes backwards. Not much doing wide on that one. Excellent job by the Timberwolves. It's going to be fourth down again for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, you got to think that was a two-down territory here for the Bulldogs. That the last thing they want to do is lose five on that play call. But, boy, good job by that Lake City defensive end. Parker Pettit gets him to kind of stay with him, but he's able to really make up ground and get back outside and stop a big play by Cox.
Bulldogs going to talk about it here as we get set for this fourth down play. Sandpoint with the ball down to the 17-yard line. They need to get just inside the 10, it looks like, for a first down, third down, and 7. Of course, tomorrow we've got more football for you here on North Idaho's radio. We've got Vandal football. Vandal's playing the old nighttime game at UC Davis tomorrow, with the pregame tomorrow evening at 6 and kickoff from beautiful Cali tomorrow at 7.
Vandals trying to get a win on the board after their opening win against Simon Fraser, but, boy, they've gotten pummeled the last couple
You know, you're scheduling up games that are good for your bank account, maybe not so good for your football players. So the Bulldogs back on the field after
they're
the
kick
timeout.
It.
Are they going for the field goal here?
Wow. 31-yarder. Hurt. I think that a 34-yarder. And we've been in this position before, Chris. And, boy, you know, hopefully Gove can get off the snide here and put one through the uprights.
Oh, low snap, man, and the kick not even close.
Yeah,
So snap was a grounder, and that threw everything off. And then Gove barely got it over the line of scrimmage, over the head of the lineman. And so it's going to be turned over after the missed field goal. And at the 20, Lake City will take over. Bulldogs leading at 14-7. And time for the Bulldog defense to step back up and get a stop here.
Yeah, giving the Timberwolves life. You know, with 3 minutes to go here in the half. And, Bulldogs keeping them around.
So first and 10, trips near side. Running back in motion, empty backfield. Pettit looking, throwing, throws it to guess who out of the slot, and it's going to be a loss as they try to run the wide receiver screen to Johnson, and the Bulldogs all over that one. It'll be second down and 11.
Yeah, Wes Benefield not fooled there. As again, he's lined up in that tight end position. They bring the empty the backfield, try to get the linebacker to move out there, but they just dump it off to Johnson. Any way they can, they're going to get the ball to Johnson, and Wes Benefield not fooled.
So they split him out wide this time as McCorkle goes out to guard Johnson. Trips near side, one back, Pettit. Looking.
Wide open.
Throws it to Johnson across the middle, who is wide open, and he breaks past the Bulldog. He's at the 30, the 40, and he's out to the 44.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
McCorkle eventually makes the tackle, but not until Lake City gets all the way out to the 43-yard line. So 23 yards on that play to Johnson. And so far, it's all Johnson all the time for the Timberwolves.
And you knew this going into the game, too. And that time, he's wide open by 10 yards, Chris, coming off that line of scrimmage.
Trips far side. Johnson on the near side. Back to pass. They throw it out. Pass is caught by Hill. He breaks away from a tackler. Gets across midfield out to the 49. And it's going to be second down and 3.
Yeah, the Timberwolves like their situation right now as they get into Bulldog territory here with just the clock ticking inside 2 minutes, Chris. And a lot of cushion for the receivers, not a lot of pressure. Pretty easy for the quarterback, Pett, to sit back there and throw some darts out to some wide-open receivers. All they got to do is catch it and turn up field. They're going to get some yardage.
So second down and 3, handoff, delay up the middle, not much doing. Might get a little bit. It's going to be third down now and short as the clock winds down to a minute 35. Both teams with two timeouts remaining. Timberwolves
will get the ball at the kickoff here at the second start of the second half, too.
No, the Bulldogs get it. They kicked off to start.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Bulldogs kicked off and got a stop on the first possession. So Sandpoint gets it start of the third quarter. 1:10 left. Clock still running. Third and short. Another handoff up the middle. Enough for a first down, but not much more. Down to the 45. One would imagine that Lake City would call timeout. They do. With 1:03 left in the first half, we'll take one as well. Be back on North Idaho's radio and Rock 103 after this.
Enjoying a meal with friends and family is the main ingredient of any Italian dinner, and that's what you'll find at Ivano's Restaurant in downtown Sandpoint. We serve up the very best in Italian cuisine, like lasagna bolognese, eggplant parmigiana, and calamari dore. Ivano's is open for dinner Wednesday through Saturday with nightly specials and gluten-free options as well, and each meal is made with amore. Make your reservation today at 208-263-0211 or stop by our location at 102 First Avenue. Ivano's, a Sandpoint tradition for over 35 years.
Don't miss out on life's unforgettable moments. You have adventures waiting and challenges to tackle. And now, P1FCU can help you anywhere life takes you. If you need to make a loan payment, a simple transfer, or even apply for a loan,
P1FCU's video banking has you covered. It's real banking with real people. Download the app or visit p1fcu.org to get started. P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Insured by NCUA.
Back at Barlow Stadium, War Memorial Field on first down, Jackson Pettit just heaved it deep to no one as his receiver kind of cut off the route. And so second and 10 coming up.
Yeah, trying to just do the wheel right out to the outside, and the Bulldogs kind of bottled him up, ball overthrown. But again, that secondary just really just giving too much room. As another receiver was open actually to the outside, a much easier throw.
So second and 10, under a minute here in this second quarter, man in motion.
Johnson's right here.
Johnson in the slot. Back to pass. They throw it back across the grain. It's caught by the running back. He gets five as Ross makes the catch and gets to the 40. Only one timeout left for Lake City, and a third and five coming from the Bulldog 40.
They better hustle up.
Clock continuing to run, 30 seconds. Pettit all day to throw. Lobs it to no one. Incomplete. It's going to be third down now.
Fourth down.
Oh, it's going to be fourth down. Excuse me. You're right. Fourth and five with 27 seconds left.
They have a pretty good idea where they're going to go with the ball. Where they're going to go with the ball.
Yeah. They're going to line up Johnson wide, probably to the far side. And then just lob it up to him. They've done it on every fourth down play so far. And we've got a timeout on the field. That's a wacky timeout here on fourth down by Lake City. We'll keep it here with this scoring update. Bulldogs still leading at 14-7. And this scoring update is brought to you by Interstate Concrete, a proud sponsor of Bulldog football for more than 30 years. So interesting timeout. The clock had stopped. But on this fourth down, I guess Timberwolves want to talk it over. Of course, if they complete one downfield inbounds, clock will roll.
Well, if it's first down, Chris.
Well,
top
it will stop for the setting of the chains. But our chain gang shows an incredible amount of speed in these key situations when they need to get set. No,
they do. They're probably one of the best chain gangs in the state of Idaho. Jeff Byer, Cliff Irish, Rusty Irish, been at it for a long time.
I mean, when I think speed, I think Cliff Irish. I always have.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Played softball with him for many years. He could motor.
When I first came to town, he used to play for the co-op team back in the mid-'80s, the basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't want to run across the key with him standing in the middle of it.
There you go. You got Johnson lined out on that side of the field, Chris. Where are they going to go with the ball here? And Cody Steiger needs to get out there and give him some help.
Now Coach Coach Knowles wants to call timeout, and he might be mentioning something very similar to his squad here on this fourth down. So the Bulldogs are down to one timeout left in this first half. Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, you know, again, the Bulldogs had a chance here to get out the field up 14-7. You know, Lake City's done a good job here in the second quarter of taking the air out of the ball. They've really possessed the ball here for quite a bit here in the second quarter, Chris, and kind of got the defense on their heels a little bit, coming up with some plays, keeping them off balance, and, you know, Johnson's just been huge.
Yeah, it's been Johnson all over the place. They've run him out of the backfield. They've thrown him at tight end. They split him wide, as they do once again this time. And let's see what Coach Thielbar has to say there. Or excuse me, Coach Knowles, Coach Benefield.
Again, they're going to leave him one-on-one to the outside.
So fourth down. Back to pass.
Double move.
And the hit as he throws. Ball is up and it is caught.
No, it's incomplete.
Incomplete, but they want pass interference, I guess, is the problem, huh? So the Bulldogs now have 20 seconds. Wow, it's amazing that ball could get anywhere near the intended receiver as Pettit was hit as he was throwing it.
Boy, yeah, just going with that double move. You know, Johnson is lightning fast. The boy can cover 100 yards, and he's probably the fastest kid in the state going into his junior year. He actually beat Braden Kappen in one of those races last year before hurting himself. But boy, the Bulldogs dodge a bullet there.
So 20 seconds left here in this first half. Bulldogs come out not looking like they're going to take the air out of the football here on first down at the 40. Timberwolves showing maybe a blitz. They back out of it, but Pettit's running for his life, and there's a flag down, and Pettit as well. And I would imagine this would precipitate, as Pettit comes up limping a little bit, a kneel down with 14 seconds left.
Yeah, everybody for the Lake City's back other than the front four. They're bringing pressure, and they actually get the pressure on Pettit, and Pettit's a little gimpy out there. It looks like maybe his left hip there as he gets thrown down to the ground on that sack. But he's got to realize that pressure, and he was kind of casually just kind of started rolling to his right side, but he needed to sprint out of there a little bit quicker. But all for naught, is that's a holding call against the Bulldogs, and this is a situation, put their knee down and go into halftime with a 14-7 lead and kind of regroup here in the third quarter.
So 9 seconds left. Pettit up under center this time. And that's going to be your first half of action. No play elapsed. 14-7 Bulldogs. The Columbia Bank Halftime Show is on the way next here at North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
You're headed, Columbia Bank has the people and resources to help you get there. Longtime experts, lifelong nice people, and real humans answering their phones. Columbia Bank is committed to providing all the services required to help build strong Northwest communities. Recently awarded the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with retail banking in the Northwest, Columbia Bank is also a proud supporter of local high school sports. Stop by any branch or check them out online at columbiabank.com.
Sun Rental Center has been consistently reliable since 1979. Whether you're a large contractor or a homeowner with an important project, Sun Rental Center is your number one call for equipment rental and services. They go the extra mile, offering hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and longer rental options with industry-standard products from John Deere, Doosan, Genie, JLG, Multiquip, Ditch Witch, Makita, Honda, Steel, and more. Sun Rental Center is open in Sandpoint Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
Wherever you're headed, Columbia Bank has the people and resources to help you get there. Longtime experts, lifelong nice people, and real humans answering their phones. Columbia Bank is committed to providing all the services required to help build strong Northwest communities. Recently awarded the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with retail banking in the Northwest, Columbia Bank is also a proud supporter of local high school sports. Stop by any branch or check them out online at columbiabank.com.
This is the Columbia Bank Halftime Show, featuring a first half recap, including the Jalapeno stat page. Now, back to the field.
And we are back here at Barlow Stadium, War Memorial Field, as we are at halftime. The Columbia Bank Halftime Show underway. And we'll be throwing it back to the studio for some extended programming as we are in the midst of the homecoming festivities. The Bulldog pickup, the Taylor Parker donated pickup that the football team is selling raffle tickets for, will be the winner unveiled momentarily, but it's time now for your Jalapeno stat page. For the finest Mexican food on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint, now with a convenient pickup window. Jay?
All right. For the Lake City Timberwolves, they end up with 131 yards of total offense. Jackson Pettit, 8 of 16, 95 yards with one touchdown. That going to Zach Johnson there midway through that second quarter. The Bulldogs doing a pretty good job against the running games. They only pick up 36 yards on the ground, but Pettit's for 95 yards, and a bulk of that, four catches for Johnson for 64 yards, three catches for Hill for 25 yards. And for the Sandpoint Bulldogs, they end up with 186 yards of total offense. Most of that coming in the first quarter, Chris, as they really didn't get anything much going there in that second quarter. One good drive. Jack Parker Pettit, 7-11 for 101 yards, one touchdown. That going to Garrett Cox. You know, Vandenberg has two receptions, 12 yards. Frank, 3 for 49. And Cox has the two receptions for 40 yards and that touchdown. Cox doing a good job on the ground. Only seven carries, but picks up 75 yards. That's over 10 yards a carry, Chris. They've really done a good job bottling up Pettit. He's five rushes for only 2 yards. Wimmer, one carry for 8. That'll do it. You hear that?
I did. Mary Heck, I think, is the...
Merritt Houck. Maybe?
Yeah. Maybe. It's hard to tell.
Merritt Houck, I think his kid is his kid's on the team. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so there you have it, the Jalapeno stat page. We continue the Columbia Bank Halftime Show here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103. Third quarter's on the way in about, we'll call it 16, 17 minutes or so. The dance team and the homecoming and all that still to be unveiled. And we will be back here at the field with the Bulldogs leading at 14-7 after a little while on Rock 103 and North Idaho's Radio.
Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant is looking for hardworking, motivated, community-minded individuals to join their team. They have immediate openings for kitchen staff and servers. If you're interested in Jalapeno's team, apply in person at Jalapeno's on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint. Available for immediate interview, sign-on bonus, stay-on bonus, competitive pay, and a great work environment. Jalapeno's is open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Also great for takeout.
It's always so exciting to taste the newest vintage of wines being made here at the Pondere Winery. All our 2020 Merlot grapes have been crushed, and we anticipate they will produce another award-winning wine similar to the 2019 Merlot, October's Wine of the Month. The 2019 Merlot received a double gold medal from the Washington Wine Festival and a gold medal from the Sommelier's Choice Competition in San Francisco. Come have a bottle and pair it with one of our many delicious creations from our kitchen. Fall is a wonderful time to be a wine drinker, so come see us for an enjoyable evening at the Pondere Winery.
From ABC Sports, I'm Michelle Franzen. College football tonight. Number 5 Iowa takes on Maryland in the Big Ten matchup. Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz says his Hawkeyes are facing multiple challenges this week.
First of all, it's a short week. We're playing a night game and being on the road and, you know, playing a Big Ten opponent.
Also this evening, 13th-ranked BYU takes on Utah State. It's the final weekend of Major League Baseball's regular season, and several teams still have plenty to play for. The San Francisco Giants and Los Angeles Dodgers are separated by just 2 games for the NL West crown. The Giants open a series at home tonight against the San Diego Padres, while the Dodgers host the NL Central champion, Milwaukee Brewers. Both wildcard spots still up for grabs in the American League. The New York Yankees could clinch a spot tonight with a win over the Tampa Bay Rays and losses by the Boston Red Sox and Seattle Mariners. This is ABC Sports. NFL news, Baltimore Ravens star Lamar Jackson was back at practice today. He had missed 2 days with a back issue, suffered flipping into the end zone in week 3. The Tennessee Titans have ruled wide receivers A.J. Brown and Julio Jones out for this Sunday's game against the New York Jets with hamstring injuries. The big game of the weekend sees Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go on the road to face Brady's former team, the New England Patriots. Bucs head coach Bruce Arians on his team's motivation.
It doesn't have a damn thing to do with Brady. It has to do with losing.
The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that the Cardinals have reached a deal with veteran pitcher Adam Wainwright to stay with the club for the 2022 season. The National Women's Soccer League has canceled all of its games scheduled for this weekend amid sexual misconduct allegations against North Carolina Courage coach Paul Riley. Riley is accused of sexual coercion and inappropriate comments about players over a span of more than a decade. The team fired Riley on Thursday. ESPN's Hercules Gomez, a former member of the U.S. men's national soccer team, says this should not have caught the league off guard.
They were informed by these players via written letter, email, in April and in May.
League Commissioner Lisa Baird cited trauma and the need for space to reflect in announcing the decision not to hold matches this weekend. Michelle Franzen, ABC Sports.
School is back in session, and the folks at the Dairy Depot want to remind you to drive carefully around school zones and make the Dairy Depot your one-stop shop for your game day snacks, beer, and pop on the Dover Highway in Sandpoint. The Dairy Depot. At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
With the Bloomberg Business of Sports Report, I'm Michael Barr. An NBA legend is speaking out about COVID vaccines. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar agrees with the NBA after the league warned unvaccinated players they will not be paid for games they miss because they are violating local executive orders for shots. He says black athletes can do a lot to change the template.
It's like an extension of Black Lives Matter. Most of the people who are dying are black people. Most of the people who are losing their jobs and being negatively affected in other ways economically are black Americans.
Jabbar also says the unvaccinated in the NBA are missing an opportunity not only to protect themselves, but others as well.
I thought it was very irresponsible. It sounded to me like they have not made any attempt to inform themselves on what's going on.
And that is a Bloomberg Business of Sports report. I'm Michael Barr, brought to you by Exergen.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-272-1955. That's 1-800-272-1955. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-272-1955.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Sandpoint Superdrug is conveniently open 7 days a week with all the essentials you need. Stop by their pharmacy, immune support area, nutrition center, or shop for household and hardware items. You can always call ahead to order your prescriptions online. They have in-store pickup, free in-town delivery, and curbside pickup. In their expanded hardware department, you'll find the things that you need for all of your home projects. Ask about their contractor discounts. Sandpoint Superdrug is here to help. Located on 5th Avenue in Sandpoint.
As a member of the Sandpoint business community since 1963, Lighthouse Foods is a proud supporter of Bulldog Sports. Since the beginning, Lighthouse has been committed to investing in and having a positive impact on its employees and the communities in which it operates. Proud to be 100% employee-owned, Lighthouse has been named Best Workplace and Best Innovative Manufacturer in Bonner County. Interested in starting a new career? Go online to lighthousefoods.com for a list of current job openings.
Enjoying a meal with friends and family is the main ingredient of any Italian dinner, and that's what you'll find at Ivano's Restaurant in downtown Sandpoint. We serve up the very best in Italian cuisine, like lasagna bolognese, eggplant parmigiana, and calamari dore. Ivano's is open for dinner Wednesday through Saturday with nightly specials and gluten-free options as well, and each meal is made with amore. Make your reservation today at 208-263-0211 or stop by our location at 102 First Avenue. Ivano's, a Sandpoint tradition for over 35 years.
Don't miss out on life's unforgettable moments. You have adventures waiting and challenges to tackle. And now, P1FCU can help you anywhere life takes you. If you need to make a loan payment, a simple transfer, or even apply for a loan, P1FCU's video banking has you covered. It's real banking with real people. Download the app or visit p1fcu.org to get started. P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Insured by NCUA.
In the news, again, a reminder, the U.S. Fire Service will pay tribute to the lives of 119 firefighters who died in the line of duty in 2020 and in previous years. During the 40th National Fallen Firefighters Memorial Service, that's coming up this Sunday. And again, a reminder, a local memorial ceremony will be held at 3 p.m. Sunday at the Main City Fire Station in downtown Bonners Ferry. During the national service in Emmitsburg, Maryland, a bronze plaque bearing the names of the fallen will be officially added to the National Fallen Firefighters Memorial in Boundary County. The names of the fallen will be read aloud in a program that features several fire service traditions historically employed to honor the dead and the presentation of our nation's colors by the Boundary County Fire Rescue Honor Guard. Elsewhere in the coming years, the Gem State will have a new military vessel donning its name. The U.S. Navy is in the process of constructing the USS Idaho, a nuclear attack submarine that will go on active service after a commissioning ceremony in the summer of 2023. Construction first began on the sub back in August, according to Rich Colburn, a retired U.S. Navy captain and the chairman of the USS Idaho Commissioning Committee. It's been more than 100 years since the U.S. Navy commissioned a vessel with Idaho's name. It was launched back in 1919, known as the Big Spud. The Big Spud was one of the vessels on hand when the Japanese surrendered in Tokyo Bay in 1945. That's the news. I'm Jeff McLean.
And now, the Idaho Farm and Ranch Minute, brought to you by Idaho's agricultural community.
Continuing concerns about port disruptions coming up on the Idaho Farm and Ranch Minute.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding.
Whoa!
Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With ACEyourRetirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Woo-hoo.
Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Ag Secretary is among those continuing efforts to alleviate congestion at our nation's ports causing shipment disruptions, including of ag goods. Rod Bain has more in this report with Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack.
Continued disruptions at our nation's ports, some related to supply chain disruptions associated with the COVID-19 pandemic, others related to natural disasters such as recent tropical storm and hurricane activity. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack Wednesday, speaking before the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, noted a same-day conversation.
With the special envoy that President Biden has set up to examine the circumstance and situation at the ports.
John Picari serving that role as part of the administration's supply chain disruptions task force, which Secretary Vilsack is also a co-chair. The secretary says regardless of the cause, port disruptions, particularly of ag goods being transported to export markets, is contributing to less supply available and in some cases higher prices for consumers.
We want to make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to keep those ports moving product as quickly as we can.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
I'm Neil Larson. Catch our weekly hour-long show on podcast. Reach out to us or grab all the latest Idaho Ag news at IdahoFarmNet.com. This has been the Idaho Farm and Ranch Minute.
Partly sunny, turning mostly sunny by afternoon with a high today of 64. Clear skies overnight, low around 38. Mostly sunny, mid-60s once again on Saturday. The forecast this time brought to you by the Priest River Chamber of Commerce. Visit historical downtown Priest River Saturday 3 to 7 for Oktoberfest. Live music, locally crafted brews, and lots of great food and fun. Get more information at the Priest River Chamber Facebook page.
Sun Rental Center has been consistently reliable since 1979. Whether you're a large contractor or a homeowner with an important project, Sun Rental Center is your number one call for equipment rental and services. They go the extra mile, offering hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and longer rental options with industry standard products from John Deere, Doosan, Genie, JLG, MultiQuip, Ditch Witch, Makita, Honda, Steel, and more. Sun Rental Center is open in Sandpoint Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
School is back in session, and the folks at the Dairy Depot want to remind you to drive carefully around school zones and make the Dairy Depot your one-stop shop for your game day snacks, beer, and pop on the Dover Highway in Sandpoint. The Dairy Depot.
Wherever you're headed, Columbia Bank has the people and resources to help you get there. Longtime experts, lifelong nice people, and real humans answering their phones. Columbia Bank is committed to providing all the services required to help build strong Northwest communities. Recently awarded the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with retail banking in the Northwest, Columbia Bank is also a proud supporter of local high school sports. Stop by any branch or check them out online at columbiabank.com.
All right, we're back here at Barlow Stadium, War Memorial Field. The halftime festivities have finally ground to a halt, and the teams are returning to the field. We should be a couple minutes away from the start of this third quarter, Jay. And kind of a mixed bag for the Bulldogs in that first half. First quarter, pretty good. Second quarter, a little eh.
Yeah, just a little eh is exactly right. We played pretty clean football here in that first part of it, and then we had a couple miscues and a couple penalties that were costly, and we were really set in pretty good position. We're inside the 10-yard line, but a block in the back, on the outside, and that marches us back 15 yards, and then it just kind of goes haywire from there. I'm just trying to be brutally honest here, but you're fourth down and eight. The ball's inside the 20-yard line. You
already went for it on fourth and like 16 from the 30.
Exactly. So you wonder, and I'm not, hey, Jake Gobe is a good kicker. I mean, he's dead on extra points. He does a good job. But, so far through four field goal attempts, it hasn't been any close. And I'm not saying that was a bad snap coming in the first place. But man, you've got them inside their own 20 already. Go for it, fourth and eight. When Gove misses it, it comes down to the 20. They get a little bit better starting spot. And just trust your offense. They're going to get you that eight yards. And especially, go for the juggler. And we're kind of keeping this Lake City Timberwolves team around. I think the offense has done a pretty good job for the most part, other than getting in their way. Defensively, we they do a good job coming out of here at halftime. We make some pretty good adjustments. We have outplayed every team in the second half this season. But not saying, you got to take the opportunities when they're giving it to you and really try to bury a team early when you can instead of keeping them around. And where the ball's going. This Zach Johnson kid, he's the real deal. Everybody knows it. People have been talking about it last year and then going into this year, the spring. That he's their guy, and for some reason they're leaving McCorkle out there one-on-one ISO'd and he's made him pay the Bulldogs a couple times on some big plays.
He has, and not that McCorkle hasn't been in position numerous times, and in fact as much as they've gone to him, he could have more, right? Because they're giving it to they've handed it off for 34 yards, and thrown it to Hill about two or three other times. And every other play, they're trying to get it to number 80.
They have 131 yards of total offense, and Johnson is responsible for 91 of those. and 75 of the 64 of the 95 yards in the air. So it's no secret how they're going to want to win this football game, and that's going to be through the legs, and the strength, and just the athleticism of Zach Johnson. So make those adjustments. Understand. Make somebody else beat you. I guarantee Lake City's coming into this game saying, "Hey, we can't let Garrett Cox and Parker Pettit beat us." Parker Pettit has been kept in check in the game. They're not. They know they're probably giving up some big plays to Garrett Cox, but they're not going to let the other guy, Parker Pettit, beat us. Hopefully they make some adjustments and we figure it out here.
Well, so far for the Bulldogs, the good news is they have not been stopped on offense yet, save one. Bad decision by one of their blockers on the outside. They probably would have 21 points on there. It's not like Lake City did anything for that. The Bulldogs put themselves in a down and distance that was just too hard to overcome.
Yeah, fourth down, and what was it? Fourth down and what? 14, and they got a one-on-one with Zach Johnson, and they made the Bulldogs pay, and that's their lone touchdown in the play. But the Bulldogs do everything right up until you know, they, you know, the, you know, the, that athlete is comes up and makes a big play for him.
So Lake City's going to have to kick it away here to start this contest in the third quarter. The Bulldogs will send Dunkel and McCorkle back deep to receive. Looks to me like it is going to be number 35, Camden Martindale, the tight end defensive lineman with the interesting number of 35 to do the kicking. And it's going to be a short kick. It's going to be taken by McCorkle on the run at about the 15. He fakes the handoff and keeps it. He gets to the outside. He's at the 30. He's going to be run out of bounds at about the 35. And that's where the Bulldogs will take over. 36-yard line, first and 10 here, as we are just off and rolling in this third quarter of action on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio. But this drive here to start this third quarter, it's a big one, Jay. Bulldogs go down and reestablish that 14-point lead. I like the Bulldog chances.
Oh, absolutely. I think I don't know if there's a I don't know if there's enough big plays by Johnson to be had to overcome. But you know, the Bulldogs really just, you know, ball control, a steady dose of Cox here, and put some points on the board.
So the Bulldogs have their four wide standard set. Pettit hands it to Cox. Cox right up the middle. Cox moves forward. Cox spins. Cox continues to fight forward. That's good for 14. Make it 13, and a Bulldog first down at the 39.
Yeah, again, just a good job just out off the middle behind Ben Stockton, and then he's able to get out to the right side behind Smith and Chapman, and does a great job just picking up 8 yards, gets hit, and then takes another 5 yards just of guys hanging on him.
You have guys trying desperately to bring him down. The homecoming king. Officially now, as he enters the second half of play, there's another handoff to Cox up the middle. This time from behind, he's going to be dragged down after a short gain of two. Across the 50 to about the Lake City 49. Yeah. Actually, they'll mark him right at the 50.
Yeah, this is just about a yard there on that carry. Is that time, we blocked the defensive end on that right side, and he just isn't fooled by the ball fake, and he just falls him down, and he's able to stop Cox after 1 yard.
So second and 9 for the Bulldogs. Pettit looking, throwing. Got a man out there. It's caught by Frank. Frank's going to get another Bulldog first down. He's still on his feet. Should have been tackled for a gain of about 4, but he's going to get down to the 35-yard line as he just refused to go down, and the Bulldogs have another first down.
Yeah, good hard-nosed running there by Frank, who just catches the ball about 2 yards downfield and does the rest on his own. But, boy, you got to love the look of that young sophomore there.
Yeah, he basically just pulled himself away from the would-be tackler and got about another 10, 12 yards down the sideline. So the Bulldogs already inside the 35 of Lake City. Pettit and everyone looking over to the sideline, save the linemen who are just hanging out, waiting for the snap. In their three-point stance, Vandenberg in the slot, three wides, Frank near side, handoff, Cox. Cox has a hole. He's at the 30, and a knockdown there. Nice tackle by Kyrus Condon, and it's going to be second down and 6 after the gain of 4.
Yeah, good one right there. Just that second level. I think Vandenberg missed that first guy coming over, and he took the second guy, and the first guy was the one that is able to come across and tackle Cox there. But again, a nice job there on first down, 4 yards.
Pettit looking over the defense, clapping his hands, taking the snap, dropping back, faking, going deep. He's got a man open. It's Frank at the 10. He's into the end zone. Little out and up, and the Bulldogs fool the defensive back for Lake City. And just like that, 1 minute and 54 seconds into the third quarter, Bulldogs, as requested, put it in the end zone.
Boy, nice little answer there. Again, you know, Lake City really doesn't like having anything happen in that flat, in that middle area. Vandenberg takes two defenders to the middle, allows Frank to work one-on-one with that little out and up, stop and go, whatever you want to call it. But he blows by the corner, and a big touchdown play for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Pettit put the fake pass on, and the defensive back bit. This extra point is up and good by Gove. 20-1-7 Bulldogs. 10:06 remaining in the third quarter, and this scoring update is brought to you by Sun Rental. A proud supporter of the Bulldogs since 1979, they rent everything under the sun. And, Jay, we've got a week off next week, and then it's down to Moscow for the games that really matter as far as whether you're going to make it to the postseason or not.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, the Bulldogs, you know, Moscow and Lakeland, you know, taking a bit more of the easier route. They schedule a lot of 3A, 2A teams on their schedule. They don't play up that often. And so not a whole lot of light games. I do know, you know, Lake City beat up on Moscow pretty good earlier in the year, or beat up on Lakeland earlier in the year, and I'm not sure what how Moscow's been doing. I think they're 3-2 through the season, but they haven't really played played the caliber of opponents of the Bulldogs yet.
No, but it's always tough. They have like 14 guys in the sidelines, but five of them are always really, really good.
Yes, they are.
So last Coon getting set to kick it away. First time towards the south. This is going to be a high returnable. Short kick, returnable from the 5-yard line, gathered in there by Ross. Ross looking for room, cuts against the grain, has a nice little seam out across the 30, and they're going to be tackled at the 32, and that's where Lake City takes over.
And that's why you bury it into the end zone, Chris. That one just a little shorter. I think the Bulldogs had it pretty well corralled there, but good job by Ross just being patient, and he ends up getting kind of in the scrum and then breaks it back against the grain and finds a little soft spot in the middle of the field. Nice return for the Timberwolves.
Let's see what the Bulldog defense has to bear here in this third quarter when it comes to Mr. Zach Johnson. He's out split wide right, two receivers to the near side. They fake the handoff. No, they do hand it off right up the middle, and kind of with a calf roping move, knocking him down there. Wes Benefield in the middle of the line. It's about a 3-yard gain, maybe four, and second down coming up.
Yeah, good. A good little hole for the Timberwolves. You haven't seen too much running room up the middle for him tonight, but that time a nice hole opened up for Ross, and he gets that second level, and Benefield finishes him off.
So they do give him four, second and six. Bulldogs leading at 21-7. Another handoff. And a big hole to the outside. Ross has got a first down and more. He's going to be run out of bounds at about midfield. And that's going to be another gain around 14. And a first down coming for Lake City.
Yeah, Cox comes back into the game. Again, they attack where, you know, they're just attacking that weak side again against this Bulldog defense, short side of the field, and pretty well blocked. And Ross is showing some good quickness and good spurt off that right side, Chris. And really making the Bulldogs pay.
Yeah, he's got some good vision, too, because he really lets his block set up and then just speeds to the open spot. Handoff up the middle, not much happening this time. Nice tackle in there for the Bulldogs. I think it was Ballison who got him around the ankles and knocked him down for a gain of one.
Yeah, Ballison, you know, kind of a late to the game of football, started playing his freshman year, but, you know, the more snaps he's getting, the better he is. You know, he always struggled kind of locating the ball when he's down in that four-point stance, but that time does a good job of seeing the ball and stopping that running back after a one-yard game.
So second and nine. This time Johnson in the slot, part of trips to the near side for Pettit. Pettit hands to Ross. Ross again up the middle, breaks into the secondary, breaking tackles and down inside the 30 to the 29-yard line. And that time the Bulldogs just shoddy tackling right up the middle.
Yeah, just nobody gets a clean look at Ross. Again, good blocking off that right side for the Timberwolves, and he's able to squirt through there and get past the linebackers and into the secondary, keeps his feet. And, boy, their first big running play here for Ross here in this game.
Yeah, 22 right up the middle that time for Lake City, who once again are to the line of scrimmage. Two wides near. Handoff up the middle, again, just riding Ross on this drive here in this third quarter. It's been all ground game so far, and this is a gain of three. It'll be second and seven.
Yeah, pretty, you know, hey, you know, you're not getting the big plays every time, but I tell you what, they're getting 3 and 4 yards here against this Bulldog defensive front as this line, offensive line, is starting to show a little bit of push and creating some opening holes and getting that next level.
So second down seven, Hill wide right, Johnson in the slot, two other receivers to the wide side, the near side of the field. This time it's Condon in there for some ball carrying possible action. The pitch comes to him. He tries to get to the outside, and he's knocked down by Benefield, who makes a great tackle for a loss of one. It's going to be third down and eight.
Absolutely, good job. And, you know, the Bulldogs into that strong side of that defense, and they do a pretty good job of stringing that out. But where they've struggled is that weak side where they're pretty much outnumbered. That time, Wes Benefield does what he does and makes the nice read and gets up there and makes a nice tackle on Condon.
So third down. Johnson tight in the slot. Just off the tackle and back to pass and rolling is Pettit. Pettit looking. Throwing for Johnson downfield. He dropped it at the five. Might not have been able to stay in bounds. Might have been worrying about where his feet was as that ball was thrown high and wide. So it's going to be fourth down again for Lake City. Once again, they are at the Bulldog 28-yard line. They need to get down to about the they're at about the 26. They need to get to the 18.
Yeah, big fourth down and eight here for this Bulldog defense. Again, you know where the ball is going to go. Johnson's in that slot again. They're probably going to roll away from the pressure. Let Johnson try to buy Pettit some time and let him work way downfield.
Pettit back, looking, trying to throw. Does, throws it to nobody. Bulldogs hold. Trying to get it out to his running back, number 23, Ross. And he just zipped it past him before Ross was even ready for it because the Bulldog rush was bearing down on Pettit.
Yeah, he had some time. He's looking downfield, and then just nobody comes open as that pressure gets to him. And almost kind of a no-look Patrick Mahomes would throw there as he just kind of just throws it out there wide of his intended receiver.
To quote a politician long ago, I've seen Patrick Mahomes, and Jackson Pettit is no Patrick Mahomes.
He's not. But the no-look is what I was referring
yes.
to.
So Bulldogs take over on downs. Cox. Fake handoff to him. They throw it to Frank, who's going to be knocked down immediately. Might lose a yard. Maybe got back to the line of scrimmage as the Bulldogs tried to throw the wide receiver screen. And that time to the near side, short side of the field, the Timberwolves were all over it.
Yeah, that time Vandenberg just, the corner out there, he's trying to block. He just juked him out, and Vandenberg missed that block. And Frank was just unable to beat him.
So second down, 10. Pettit looking over the defense. Four wides for the Bulldogs. Back to pass, throwing it. It's caught by Vandenberg. Tips toes the sideline, lays a hit, and gets a first down. Runs over the defensive back, number 25, Aiden Kamarakal, and that was a nice play there by the Bulldogs.
Boy, perfect throw there by Pettit, just a little five-yard out pattern. That's a tough ball to the short side of the field, Chris, and Pettit gets it out to Vandenberg, and he's able to get stop his momentum and get upfield and pick up a big first down. Move the chains.
So the Bulldogs huddling. Save Lass Kuhn and Max Frank, who now will switch in tight. And the Bulldogs going out of the old wing tee. Hand off to Cox, picking his way forward. Jumps a tackler, gets to the 45. That's a gain of five. If there's ever 5 yards in a cloud of dust on a non-grass field, that was it.
Absolutely, yeah. 40. It looks like he got 6 yards on there, but again, just a big scrum in there, and Cox just working his way, moving the ball. And looks like the Bulldogs are going to line up that same formation. See if they don't do a little trickery here. I've seen them throw out of this.
One of these times they're going to not hand it to Garrett Cox out of this, and it's this time back to pass Pettit. He throws. It is tipped and almost intercepted. Ill-advised once again, but Jackson Pettit running for his life on that one.
Boy, yeah, just a blitz off that outside, and Darrell just gets beat. The left tackle just doesn't do a good enough job of getting a hand on him and take him off his quick route. Heads up there by Pettit to get rid of the ball, but that was a little too close for comfort.
So Pettit looking over to the sideline. Signals coming in. Bulldogs need four to keep this drive rolling. 5 minutes left here in this third quarter. Bulldogs leading by 14. Handoff is a fake, and Pettit's going to keep it, and he's got room. He's at the 40, and he's knocked down at the 38. That is a Bulldog gain of 19 and a Bulldog first down.
Nice to see the Bulldogs call Pettit's number here. He's just as dangerous with his legs as Cox is, and that time gets a good job, pulls that nice play fake to Cox and keeps it and gets in that hole quickly and picks up a big Bulldog first down.
So the Bulldogs line up tight again on the first down. Signals coming in. Board with the pictures deployed. Up under center, Jackson Pettit. Keeps, hands it off to Cox. They grab him from behind in his jersey, and he still manages to pull guys forward for about 4 yards.
Man, you know, he didn't have any chance really to go behind Carson and Durrell there, and but somehow he's just strong, and he uses that low center gravity leverage and just drives and picks up a nice 3 yards.
If he had the Earl Campbell breakaway jersey, he would literally be unstoppable.
Yeah, just saw that. Wasn't that like a 50 years ago or something?
3:55 left here, third quarter. Bulldogs looking to add to their 14-point lead. There's another handoff to Cox, this time off the right side. He's inside the 30, down to the 29, and the Bulldogs lead it 21-7. This scoring update brought to you by Northwest Auto Body and Towing, with two locations to serve you. Sandpoint and Ponderay since 1976, providing quality repairs throughout North Idaho.
Yeah, again, the Bulldogs here in that two-down territory. This is where you do not want to go backwards. You want to pick up. You don't want to make this a fourth down and long situation.
Third and one. Pettit keeps it, rolls, looks, throws it right to Lake City. It's an interception. It's Johnson stepping in front of the intended receiver. Bulldogs.
I just don't get it. Third and one, and you're going to throw the ball. Hand the ball off to Cox. Just get the first down. Keep the chains going. I'm not second-guessing the play call. Just a little risky. You put the ball in the air in a situation like that. You know.
So the Bulldogs, it's the first turnover of the football game, and Lake City will have it at the at their 29-yard line. And just a great play by Johnson there to read the pattern and step in front of the receiver.
Absolutely, dude. Lake City Timberwolves have new life here. The Bulldogs up 14, but a chance for the Bulldogs to really extend this lead as they were really moving the chains on the ground.
Pettit, high snap, hands off. Another roam for Ross. He tries to get to the outside. It's going to be a fairly short gain, but he's still going to get, actually, once they finally bring him down, he's got six. Looked like he should have been knocked down after about two.
Yeah, no, he was able to kind of spin away. A lot of arm tackling out there as the Bulldogs never really got a good look on Ross, who's shown his elusiveness, but he comes off the field. He's a little gimpy there after that run. A break for the Bulldog defense.
So second down and three, as looks like Ross is getting the old cramp treatment on the far side. Timberwolves having a little trouble getting formatted right. All tight on this one. Back to pass. They throw it again to Johnson. Incomplete. That pass high and wide of the mark, and it's going to be third down now and four for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, you know, just they move Johnson over to the short side of the field, and, you know, they give Johnson the easy out pattern on the outside there. Nobody bumps out. Nobody gets out on him, Chris. And, boy, pretty easy pitch and catch here for the first down, but the Pettit just misses on that throw.
So third down, four. Bulldog crowd starting to make some noise. They want to stop. It's a handoff up the middle. It's going to be short of the first down by a good yard. It's going to be fourth down. See what Lake City decides to do here.
They're going to hustle up, hurry it up here.
They're going to hustle it up. They're going to hurry it up. They're going to try and do the old quarterback sneak probably right up the middle. And they go right up the middle, but they were offside.
They're offside penalty. Yeah.
Or maybe the Bulldogs were offsides. So the easy five gives the first down on fourth and one. Looked like they probably had it nonetheless. This will mark it out to the 44 as we near the end of the third quarter. It's Bulldog football here on North Idaho's radio, Rock 103. Another beautiful Friday night in Sandpoint, under the lights here at the most picturesque setting for football. I guess I need to shorten my words here late at the night. Back to pass, Pettit throws, and it's caught by Johnson. He's got a first down. He runs through a tackle. He's still on his feet. He spins out of another one, and he's all the way down to the 26-yard line. Make it the 25.
Yeah. You've got to know where he's at on every play, Chris. And, again, they just keep him inside. Nobody bumps out with him. It's an easy little out route for him, and he's able to make the first guy miss. He's a beast. He's a big kid. He's not, you know, he's 6'4", 205 pounds. He's strong. He hits the weight room, and, you know, the Bulldogs just, you know, they got a man up on him and put an extra body over top of Johnson.
So first and 10 now, down to the Bulldog 25. Timberwolves trying to close within one score. The pitch to the near side, and we've got Ross back in there, and he's run out of bounds by McCorkle at about the 24. So not much doing there on first down. It's going to be second down. They'll give him two, almost to the 23.
They stopped the clock for some reason. That clock should be running here. Did he go out of bounds?
Yeah. So the ball rests nose on the 28, near side hash, right in front of one of the unfortunate pillars that keep the radio guys from seeing clearly. Pettit back looking. They try to throw the screen. They've got it set up. Ross has it at the 20. He breaks a tackle. He's down to the 15.
It's going to be a first down for Lake City.
It is. Enough for the first down, although not enough for the Lake City coaches in the next booth over. We thought that probably should have been six the way it was set up.
Move the change here. The Bulldogs, Lake City's doing a good job. You know, got the Bulldogs right where they want. Their offense on the sidelines, their offense on the field, and they're just ball control here, looking to get back in and within 7 points here late here in this third quarter.
So Pettit, he's got Ross right next to him. Johnson's in the slot, a whole host of Bulldogs in his general vicinity. They throw it to the other side of the field. It's caught for a first down and finally run out of bounds inside the five, down to about the three. That pass completed to number 15, Zach Adkinson. And it's first and goal now for the Timberwolves.
Well, yeah, the Bulldogs just giving up too many plays here, just in situations where they can get off the field, Chris, and not getting it done here defensively. Lake City looking to capitalize.
Johnson now lined up tight at the tight end. The handoff comes, and it's going to be a gain down to the one. So a couple of yards, but not in that time for Ross. And that should pretty much put an end to the third quarter. Bulldogs have the only score of the second half, but Timberwolves are knocking on the door. We'll be back with the fourth quarter of action after this here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
It's always so exciting to taste the newest vintage of wines being made here at the Pondere Winery. All our 2020 Merlot grapes have been crushed, and we anticipate they will produce another award-winning wine similar to the 2019 Merlot, October's Wine of the Month. The 2019 Merlot received a double gold medal from the Washington Wine Festival and a gold medal from the Sommelier's Choice Competition in San Francisco. Come have a bottle and pair it with one of our many delicious creations from our kitchen. Fall is a wonderful time to be a wine drinker, so come see us for an enjoyable evening at the Pondere Winery.
Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant is looking for hardworking, motivated, community-minded individuals to join their team. They have immediate openings for kitchen staff and servers. If you're interested in Jalapeno's team, apply in person at Jalapeno's on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint. Available for immediate interview, sign-on bonus, stay-on bonus, competitive pay, and a great work environment. Jalapeno's is open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Also great for takeout.
All right, as we enter the fourth quarter of action here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103, it is second and goal for the Lake City Timberwolves. Knocking on the door right down to the Bulldogs' two-yard line. Handoff up the middle and a dive. Ball's
Fumble.
Loose, but I think he was already over the end line. And just like that, it's 21-13. Nearly tackled in the backfield, but a nice job by Ross to leap forward. And we've got a Lake City player down near the end zone. And lots of folks over there. So Lake City, pending the extra point, will be back within seven. And we've got
Going to get up here.
One of the linemen limping off the field. He's trying to get back to the huddle, but they're going to make him continue off the field as he heads out. So the extra point forthcoming. And just 3 seconds into the fourth quarter, it'll be the onus back on the offense, Jay, to extend this lead back out one more time.
Yeah, you know, we've really had our way with their defense. We've had many of opportunities. We've just undone ourselves, Chris, and that's really frustrating, you know, not only for me and then probably you, but, you know.
And all there.
And everybody else. It's just, you know, we're moving the ball and, you know, third and one, and it's just like, hey, let's get the first down and let's regroup. And instead we got the get the interception, and the ball shouldn't have been thrown out there. But guess who makes the big play? Zach Johnson. And he comes up with a big interception, and he comes up with a big play on the offensive side. You know, so just understand what our strengths are in the situation, and stick to them.
So the Bulldogs will give an extra yard here, closer for the extra point, which you wouldn't think would matter much, but based on the previous extra point, that yard could come into play. There's the snap up. The kick is up. It is good. It is 21-14, and oh no, they say it missed it wide right. So Bulldogs,
Crazy.
It looked like it went right through the uprights.
Oh, I thought it was right down the middle,
but it must have drifted off to the side. So
big break for the Bulldogs.
A yard too close on that one, and this scoring update with the Bulldogs now still up 21-13. Brought to you by 7BTV, your authorized dish retailer, locally owned and operated, and ready to help you. A proud sponsor of Bulldog Sports. Well, Jay, Bulldogs up 8, fourth quarter. Time to ride your two horses to victory here, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. No costly penalties. Let's ground and pound this a little bit. Take some quick, easy throws when the situation presents itself.
I think the Bulldogs actually, you know, with the way Lake City's defending this up, they are so cognizant of that short passing game.
Absolutely.
That's why the out and up was wide open that mm-hmm. one time, the stop and go, whatever you want to call it. I think that if the Bulldogs really wanted to hit that, that's the place to go, because obviously, I mean, there hasn't been much room. I mean, that was the first interception, but, you know, there could have been a couple of more that were, you know, 50-50 balls in the sailing through the secondary. This kick's going to be taken by McCorkle at about the 10. Setting up the return to the near side, he runs to the 20. He stutter steps, gets to the outside, and then he's going to be knocked down.
Yeah,
there's a flag down.
Jesus.
So the Bulldogs are going to be marked back inside their 15-yard line, one would imagine. So,
those are the things you talk about right here, Chris, is don't shoot yourselves in the foot. We should not be making mistakes here and allowing Lake City to kind of get a hold of this little momentum they have. And the Bulldogs do it. And now the Bulldogs will be, you know, stuck right around their 10-yard line.
Yep, they're going to be marked back on the hold, so we'll see where they start marking this one off right now. They're still figuring it out.
Bulldogs, 5 penalties, and, you know, 4 of them the 15-yard kind, and we had a pass interference, too, and a 5-yard penalty. But again, just, giving Lake City some life here.
So the ball's at the 13-yard line. That's where the Bulldogs will start this drive. And what a key drive for the Bulldog offense it is, as they are clinging to a 21-13 lead here in the fourth quarter in a game they have, from a statistical standpoint, pretty much had the better of. There's a handoff to Cox. Cox looks to get to the outside. He's going to be run down from behind after a gain of about 3. Second down coming up.
And again, running behind Chapman and Smith out to that right side, picks up 4 yards. Good first down play here. The Bulldogs really have had their way on the ground game here for most of this game.
So,
got to like the one-on-one here with Frank.
Claps. Hands off to Cox up the middle. Cox dives forward. He's going to have a first down out to the 25-yard line. So a little breathing room for the Bulldog offense. 2 plays and a first down. The Timberwolves have yet to stop the Bulldogs' running game.
No, they
have
not.
You have to stop it.
You have to stop it before you go away from it, right? And I kind of said that in the pregame. It's, you know, a steady dose of Cox in this situation. This is the way how we're going to win the game. So,
Pettit, back to pass. Again, Cox on the screen, runs out of a tackle, gets out to about the 26. So maybe a yard on that one. And again, the short passing game and Lake City is all over it. You know, when the Bulldogs have tried to run wide or get wide, hasn't been a lot out there, especially in the that first 5-10 yards.
Yeah, you know, that speed. Again, you know, Lake City's defense is built on speed here, Chris, and you know, nothing happening big on that little short stuff the Bulldogs are throwing.
So they give him two. It'll be second and eight. Pettit back to pass, looking. He's being rushed. He throws. He's got Max Frank, who tried to run with it before he caught it, out at the 37. So it's going to be third down now and eight for the Bulldogs.
Two passes and get ourselves in a sticky situation here, third down and eight. That ball should have been caught by Frank, though.
Yeah, that ball on the hands and on the money. And Max was looking upfield to see what the defense was doing before he secured it. And really all he needed to do was catch it and go down, and the Bulldogs would have moved the chains. So third down. Bulldogs trips to the far side. They send Cox out for the screen. He gets it, and he's looking for running room. He's across the 30. He's out to the 32. And that's going to be fourth down, and the Bulldogs are going to have to punt this one away.
Who's the punter?
Good question. So the Bulldogs sent out the punt team.
Looks like Pettit's going to be the punter.
And Pettit, standing at the 20, looks like he's the guy who's going to punt it away. Of course, the Timberwolves coaches don't believe this is going to be a punt, but I would be shocked beyond shocked if the Bulldogs don't punt this one. Pettit takes it, kicks it. It's a liner that takes a great Bulldog bounce and is going to roll dead at about the 33-yard line. So mission accomplished there, but it's time for the Bulldog defense, Jay, to stand up with 9:10 left in this one as they're keeping the Timberwolves in this one.
They are keeping the Timberwolves in this game, Chris, and that's just it's unfortunate. You know, Bulldogs got to make some plays, you know, when you need them. And right now, Timberwolves offensively, they've been able to do that. They've made the plays when they needed to, and they've been able to capitalize on those on their two touchdown scores.
So 21-13, 9:10 left here in the fourth quarter. Bulldogs clinging to that 8-point advantage. They send Hill out to the near side. They've got Johnson in the backfield. And back to pass and falling down back at the 21-yard line, slipping as the pressure was coming his way is Pettit. And it's a loss all the way back. And for the Timberwolves, that's disaster as Ballison is down on the field. And he's going to be getting up here in a second, looks like.
You know, I don't think this long yard situation is something that really, you know, really fears Lake City in this situation. They've got the big playmakers that they need downfield, and you know, I'm surprised that we haven't understood the situation and really double team up on you know, put a man over the top on Johnson as they're going to spread him out to the far side one on one with McCorkle here, and again, it's just a lot of room over there for Johnson to work with.
Back to pass. They're going to Johnson. They throw it to Johnson across the middle. Johnson is going to be up to almost the original line of scrimmage. So it's going to be about a 10-yard gain, and it's third down and 10 as they just take Johnson, run him, and drag him across the middle, and it's an easy 10.
Absolutely. And you know, these linebackers just aren't the depth on these pass plays. They're just not getting very deep either. They're really shallow. And allows Johnson really a lot of room in that little soft area between the safety and the linebackers. They need to get a little deeper on their dropbacks. So if they get there, they're going to have a little more hands and then less room for Johnson to work.
And Cody Steiger has to come off the field on this third and 10 because he's got a little blood on his elbow. And so one of the Bulldog defensive stalwarts won't be out there here at the safety position on third down and 10. Big down for the Bulldog defense. Need to get a stop here. Pettit back, looking, throwing, and throwing it to no one again as the Bulldog pressure was in there. It looked like Ballison, who's back in there, also for Sandpoint, applying some pressure. Number 37, that's Coda Harley. And the Bulldog defense does its job, Jay.
Well, they did. And, you know, really, you know, that's the first time the Bulldogs dialed up some pressure here in a long time against Lake City Timberwolves. And that time it pays off. So they're, again, looking to the right side, looking for Johnson on a double move down the right sideline here.
Cox back to receive the punt. It's the high punt. Cox should call fair catch, doesn't. Breaks a tackle, though, at the 20 and gets out across the 32. Whew, man, that is dangerous. But the Bulldogs started at the 32 with 7:27 left and can have a real chance to put this one away with a good drive. This scoring update, Sandpoint leading it 21-13, brought to you by Sun Rental. Proudly supporting the Bulldogs since 1979, they rent everything under the sun.
Yes, good job right there by that Bulldog defense getting off the field here. You know, and allowing the Bulldogs here to start with some decent field position, basically about where they ended their last drive, Chris.
So first and 10, 34-yard line. Pettit has Garrett Cox standing right beside him. He hands it to him up the middle. Cox breaks a tackle. He's at the 40. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's all finally knocked down right there as he tried to submarine between two guys, but that's a big run for the Bulldogs. And a nice start as they'll mark him down at the 41 of the Lake City Timberwolves.
Yeah, good job that time by Darrell and Laybourne, and then Vandenberg on the inside just sealing those guys off and allowing Cox to really 20 yards downfield before he gets a Timberwolf even gets close to him.
Clock winds under 7 minutes. Bulldogs.
Yeah, take your time.
Leading by 8. Pettit looking over the defense. Claps it. Takes it. Running the option, going to keep it, and going to go nowhere.
Short side.
Second and 10, no gain on the play. Coach Theobar and Coach Yarno, none too happy with the blocking on that particular play.
No, and Darrell getting the most of it there as he doesn't do his job. He's got to take that defensive end out of the way and work him downfield. That guy is allowed to trace that option. It's plugged up. So a good job by number 44 for the Timberwolves, but a bad blocking there by Darrell.
So second and 10. Hand off to Cox. Cox big hole. 40, 30. He's on to the outside at the 20. He's finally going to be knocked down and dragged out of bounds inside the 15. Great vision and running by Garrett Cox. And this is the dose of Cox you were speaking of, I believe.
Yeah, and he stays in bounds. Let that clock run. And the Bulldogs just take your time here. And again, what's working, Chris? Running the football.
So Sandpoint leading it by 8 with a chance to put a 2-score gap between them and Lake City as the clock winds towards 5 minutes 30 seconds. Another handoff to Cox to the outside this time. Turns, tries to get back inside, and he's going to be knocked down in the backfield for a loss. Probably should have just turned that one up and gotten what he could. Looked like he was trying to hit the home run there. Loses 2.
Yeah, again, just, you know, like we say, anything that has been to the outside, like you said earlier, you know, Lake City's done a really good job of being able to stretch that out. Anything up the middle, they've done a really good job of creating lanes and room for Cox to run.
So second down, the mark and a loss of 3. So second and 13. Pettit fakes the handoff, keeps it. He's at the 20. He's inside the 10. He's down to the 6-yard line. Close. And then a flag flies in at the very end. We'll see what that's about. It's going to be a third down and about 2 pending the penalty, which came from the referee after the play was over. It is a personal foul against the Timberwolves, and that's going to make it first and goal for the Bulldogs.
Boy, big run right there by Pettit, and didn't get a whole lot of blocking downfield by his two receivers, but But again, just showing his speed and his elusiveness, and a nice play fake there to Cox.
So Pettit and Cox in the backfield. It's been Garrett Cox in the backfield almost all night. Wimmer's had a couple of carries as Garrett gets a rest as he's been going both ways. Handoff, fake, no, it's a keeper. And Pettit gets tripped up at the one-yard line, doesn't get in. Max Frank really dropped his block about a beat too soon. Otherwise, that's an easy touchdown.
Yeah, just, you know, and that's touchy ground. It's a long, it's hard to hold that block for, That long, but boy, the Bulldogs looking in a good situation here to milk some of this clock and go up big.
Second down goal. Pettit trying to drive forward. Looks like he's in. No signal yet. And still no signal. Officials coming in, unpiling, talking it over. Bulldogs want the touchdown, and they're going to say he's short. Third down, ball on the goal line with 4:04 left in this one.
This clock will run. This is good. That's all right. Two down territory.
Yeah, I think you kick the field goal if you don't get it here. It is an extra point. Handoff Cox, and he's into the end zone. So the Bulldogs go up by 27-13. The extra point could put them up 15 with 3:49 left in this one.
Yeah, boy, offense come back alive. You know, the offense has done a really good job other than just shooting themselves in the foot. They've really kind of dominated. You know, this score should be more like out towards that 40-point mark,
yes,
Chris.
Yes, it should.
Instead, you know, they've just allowed these Timberwolves to stick around here, making it interesting.
So Gove's in for the extra point. It is up and it is good. Bulldogs extend 28-13, 3:49 left. We'll be back with the final minutes here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
As a member of the Sandpoint business community since 1963, Lighthouse Foods is a proud supporter of Bulldog Sports. Since the beginning, Lighthouse has been committed to investing in and having a positive impact on its employees and the communities in which it operates. Proud to be 100% employee-owned, Lighthouse has been named Best Workplace and Best Innovative Manufacturer in Bonner County. Interested in starting a new career? Go online to lighthousefoods.com for a list of current job openings.
Don't miss out on life's unforgettable moments. You have adventures waiting and challenges to tackle. And now, P1FCU can help you anywhere life takes you. If you need to make a loan payment, a simple transfer, or even apply for a loan, P1FCU's video banking has you covered. It's real banking with real people. Download the app or visit p1fcu.org to get started. P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Insured by NCUA.
All right, here's the kick, and this one is high, it is deep, and it is taken at the one-yard line, bobbled momentarily, and the return is going to be out to about the 22-23. So nice coverage there by the Bulldogs, and if you can kick it that high and that deep, it's going to make that return a lot tougher.
Oh, yeah, you still like them start at the 20, not the 23, but no, Chris, that's a great kick, nice and high. You know, Bulldog, actually number 37, had a good shot at him, Coda Hartley, but he... You know, it's tough in that open field. He's unable to get him down to the ground, and he's able to squirt free there at about the 14-yard line.
So 3:43 left for the Timberwolves, and they trail at 28-13. Bulldogs have pretty much dominated this game, Jay, much more than the scoreboard would show with their ability to just take the ball from end to end. Just a couple of miscues.
Yeah,
this game would be... over big time, but Timberwolves still with a chance here. They need two scores and an extra point. They throw it deep, trying to get it out for Johnson, and McCorkle was back there, Johnson's limping. He's
hopefully that's not.
I think that's he's running like a guy who's having a cramping issue.
Well, that's a big break for the Bulldogs. Good job by McCorkle that time. You know, it does. What I don't understand is the Bulldogs really don't ever play the ball. They're always looking at the man, and you never get your head around it.
Well, Kirkle could have picked that one.
Yeah, you know, if you see the ball, you become the receiver, but he never tracks it, never sees it, and Lake City lives on here.
There's another pass over the middle, incomplete, too high for the intended receiver this time, which was number 88, Charles Ruggiero, and it's going to be third and 10. And we're getting down to last gasp time here for the Timberwolves.
Absolutely, yeah, the Timberwolves, minus their best player, Johnson, who goes off to the sidelines here. They're in a tough spot, third and 10. Now you're really looking for maybe Ross, the running back, who's really picked things up here in the second half, to come up and make some plays.
Pettit looking, throwing across the middle. It's incomplete. That ball came out wobbling end over end, and just like that, it's fourth down and 10.
You know, it's funny, you know, as a quarterback, you know, when you have somebody like Johnson, you can kind of just, you don't have to be so perfect. You can kind of just put it out there and let him make a play on it. You know, with some of these other guys, you know, now he's looking like, oh, I got to make that perfect throw in there. And it's amazing how things tighten up for that quarterback here. Fourth down and 10, and the Bulldogs looking to get the offense back on the field.
That's right. Bulldogs can pretty much seal the deal with a stop here. Back to pass. Deep. Trying to get it to the far side. And another great coverage by McCorkle. That time running with Hill stride for stride. Four heaves, four incompletes, and the Bulldogs have the football. And the offense can send the Bulldogs to a homecoming victory.
Yeah, that's a much better job by McCorkle here in the second half of sticking in and getting in the hip pockets of those intended receivers two times here in a row, once against Johnson and that time against Hill downfield, just not fooled and really doing a good job of pass coverage there for this Bulldog defense. See if the Bulldogs can't put one more here on the scoreboard and really put this thing away.
Pettit, it's Wimmer in there behind him right now at tailback. Hand off to Wimmer. Wimmer drives forward, gets four. Clock rolling. Down to 3:15. So far, no timeouts expended by the Timberwolves. Everyone looking to the sideline. Bulldogs in absolutely no hurry to get this second down play off because the clock is their friend, their ally. Now under three. Pettit just watching the back judge, waiting for him to give the arm signals, which have yet to come. Now they go. So the Bulldogs have run this down to 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and they hand it off to Wimmer again. He's got a nice hole. He's down to the 15. That's going to be close to a Bulldog first down. Third.
There's a timeout now.
Timberwolves call timeout as the Bulldogs have run it down to 2:28. And the Bulldogs will be facing a third down and two.
Absolutely. Good job of running right there by Wimmer that time. Just, you know, he's a big back. He's he's a good 1-2 punch there when he gets opportunities. You know, it's just hard to take Garrett Cox off the field because he's just been that dominant. But to be able to come in here, give Garrett Cox a rest, you know, two carries, he's got 9 yards. The Bulldogs sitting at third and one with just two and a half minutes here to play in this game.
Yeah. Cox was in that entire – he's played a lot on defense in the second half, so it's easy to see with the game pretty much in the Bulldogs' hands that you want to, you know, lighten the load just a little bit because he's been a busy gentleman this evening.
He's going to have 2 weeks to kind of rest up, heal these Bulldogs there. They get this bye week at a crucial time, and boy, you know, coming in, you know, 3-2 now, the Bulldogs looking to really put a nice finishing touch here on the season.
Yeah, Bulldogs in the 4A's ranked number one by Max Preps, which means if they can hold that, as Wimmer's going to get caught in the backfield, if they can hold on to that, that means they would host all the way out until they get to the Milk Bowl.
To the Milk Bowl, yeah.
Or as far as they would go into the season. Another timeout here on fourth down with 2:19 remaining.
Now you're in a situation where you don't necessarily have to run the ball. Now you open up your whole playbook, Chris. It's fourth down and two and three. You know, the Bulldogs now have a bunch of plays they can call and run out. Right these last play or two. You know, the Lake City knowing run. This time now you have an opportunity, maybe a little play action fake and maybe hit a quick hitter as those Lake City Timberwolves defense is just really everybody's up tight to that line of scrimmage.
So the Bulldogs talking it over on offense. Timberwolves, their defense now finished talking and back onto the field. Sandpoint, Wimmer right next to Pettit. Frank and Vandenberg on the near side. Robert and number 17 for the Bulldogs, whose name escapes me at this moment. This time Pettit's going to keep it, and he's going to be inside the 15 to the 13. That should be enough for a Bulldog first down. And that should
pretty
much
do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, good job that time. Just empty the backfield and let Wimmer lead the way and have Pettit just pick up, the 3 or 4 yards that you need for that first down.
Connor Hinberg, the other Bulldog receiver, in the game as the clock winds down under 2 minutes. Garrett Cox back in. And the Bulldogs get Lake City, I believe, to jump off sides. They do. So. Free five. Does stop the clock with 1:50 left.
I sure would like to see the Bulldogs punch another one in here, though. Just to get it done, put some points on the board, pad the stat a little bit, and
put some numbers up that start with 3.
That's right.
Bulldogs going to go 3-1 against the 5As, which. It's pretty impressive, especially when you consider the Coeur d'Alene game was just a 2-point loss, a game they led late. Hand off to Cox up the middle. Cox is going to be cut down after a couple of yards down to the 6. It'll be second down. Bulldogs could very well just kneel it out here.
It looks like they will. Yep.
Yep, they're going to draw it in tight and go to the victory formation. So it looks like a 28-13 victory for the Bulldogs tonight. And a super successful homecoming game for Sandpoint as the clock winds down inside of 45 seconds. Now the Bulldogs will kneel on it. 41 seconds left.
That should do it right there.
That should just about do it. Bulldogs get the victory.
Thanks, Barry, for keeping stats. You're a rock star.
I'll see you at 8 on Sunday morning. So the Bulldogs win it 28-13. Your Mountain West Bank postgame show on the way after this on North Idaho's radio and Rock 103.
When you hear a commercial from Mountain West Bank, we're usually talking about providing you a service like totally free checking. Well, this commercial is about totally free tackling, totally free passing, and totally free touchdowns. That's because we sponsor broadcasts of North Idaho High School football so you can listen to games totally free. Of course, there are a few things we hope these games are totally free of. Penalties, fouls, injuries, stuff like that. Mountain West Bank, FDIC. Member FDIC.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
Enjoying a meal with friends and family is the main ingredient of any Italian dinner, and that's what you'll find at Ivano's Restaurant in downtown Sandpoint. We serve up the very best in Italian cuisine, like lasagna bolognese, eggplant parmigiana, and calamari dore. Ivano's is open for dinner Wednesday through Saturday with nightly specials and gluten-free options as well, and each meal is made with amore. Make your reservation today at 208-263-0211 or stop by our location at 102 First Avenue. Ivano's, a Sandpoint tradition for over 35 years.
When you hear a commercial from Mountain West Bank, we're usually talking about providing you a service like totally free checking. Well, this commercial is about totally free tackling, totally free passing, and totally free touchdowns. That's because we sponsor broadcasts of North Idaho High School football so you can listen to games totally free. Of course, there are a few things we hope these games are totally free of. Penalties, fouls, injuries, stuff like that. Mountain West Bank, FDIC. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Mountain West Bank post-game show. Coming up, a talk with Coach Knowles, the Jalapeno stat page, and the Mountain West player of the game.
All right, we're back. Thank you, back. You're back here at Barlow Stadium, Memorial Field. I'm going to send it down to the field with the Chris Jackburn.
All right, we're down here on the field waiting for Coach Knowles and the Mountain West Bank postgame show here on North Idaho's radio and Rock 103 as the Bulldog homecoming king gets a little extra something to say to his teammates here at the end. We'll have the Jalapeno stat page coming up in just a moment. A brilliant night for the Bulldogs as they win it 28-13. And we'll have a chance to talk with Coach Knowles here in just the next few moments. As Coach Knowles radio guy. All right, we're down here with Coach Knowles. Coach, not the prettiest game, but you got it done.
Yeah, it was like scrappy, and felt like there were times where we were holding on, times where we were dominating and on both sides and everything. And yeah, it's a good gritty team. I mean, it's chiseled down a little bit. I'm talking about Lake City. That you know, the guys that are out there are, you know, they're good players, and I give them credit. But tonight was about us.
Well, you went 3-1 against the 5A's, but doesn't mean a whole lot because you get a week off and then you got the two games that that really matter.
That's right. And from here moving forward, it's playoffs, you know, with a three-team league. Like, you got to win. You know, you got to win. And, you know, we'll start regrouping on Moscow immediately and get ready for them. And then, you know, it's just a one-game season right now to survive in advance. You know, not necessarily true with the Max Preps ratings and everything, but that's the way that we'll see it just because you know, part of our league play is we got to win our league to get that home field advantage, which is so big in the state.
All right. Well, good job, Coach. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
All right, Jay, back up to you for the Jalapeno stat page.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Well done. Yeah, the Bulldogs come away with a big win here on homecoming night, 28-13, a game that was much closer than it really should have been as the Bulldogs, you know, have several opportunities, just unable to make those final plays to really open up this game wide open there late in the second quarter and early in that third. But hey, they still come away with the victory. 2 weeks off, they'll be get back on the field against down in Moscow. So looking forward to that. But my job is the stats, and we're going to start with the Lake City Timberwolves. They end up with 232 yards of total offense. Jackson Pettit, junior quarterback, ends up 12 of 28 for 155 yards. He has the one touchdown, the big touchdown for them there in the first half. The fourth down and about 13, and he throws it up to Zach Johnson for that touchdown, his lone touchdown pass of the night. Leading the way on the ground was Ross. He ends up toting the ball 17 times for 63 yards. Zach Johnson, three carries for 27 yards. But the Bulldogs do a good job of limiting Lake City Timberwolves to only 77 yards of rushing tonight, which seemed to be the key to that defense, as really forced the quarterback to have to throw the football. You know, but my hat's off to Zach Johnson, who ends up six catches for 98 yards. He kind of does it all for these Timberwolves, 125 yards of total offense. Justin Hill, three catches for 25 yards. For the Sandpoint Bulldogs, they have almost 300 yards, end up with 296 yards of total offense. Parker Pettit, a really, really steady Eddie night tonight. Other than that interception there, you know, kind of a ball thrown that he probably should have just kept or thrown away. He ends up 12 of 20 for 164 yards and a pair of touchdowns, one going to Frank and one going to Cox. The Bulldogs have 132 yards of rushing, and again led by, actually that's 232 yards. So we actually had 396 yards of total offense. Forgot to carry the one, Chris.
Oh, gosh darn it.
God, I tell you, my math skills. The math skills. So 396 total yards, 232 yards of total offense. Cox ends up 21 carries, 171 yards, and a pair of touchdowns. Another strong outing as Cox. He also has four catches for 45 yards. So he ends up with 216 yards of total offense here for the Bulldogs. Parker Bennett, 11 carries, 46 yards. Owen Wimmer coming in late here in this game. Picks up four carries for 15 yards. You know, Max Franks leads the way for the receivers, five receptions, 93 yards, and a nice touchdown there, the long one on the out and up. Vandenberg, three catches for 26 yards.
So the Bulldogs win this one and set up the games that matter. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be coming to you from Moscow, where the Bulldogs and Bears will get after it, and the Bulldogs have played a pretty interesting and wide variety of teams, 5A teams, the top 3A team in the entire state, and finally get to prove their wares against teams in their own classification.
In their own classification, yeah, it should be interesting. I think things stack up pretty well for the Bulldogs as they're going to head down to Moscow. Always a tough trip down south, right?
It's always tough
to play the Moscow Bears.
It's the bus ride, and the District 2 officials are always waiting for you.
Always waiting, but I like to stack up for the Bulldogs going in off this bye. Kind of maybe get a little healthy. Hopefully, get a player or two back. Rumor has it that we're going to get our ex-receiver Cody Newhart possibly could be back from his elbow surgery. So things maybe starting to really open up here for the Bulldogs as they look to seal their way to state
to get back to the playoffs and try to take the season one step further than they made it last year.
That's their goal, right?
That's right. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with all that action. Of course, tomorrow night on 1400 KSPT and 1450 KBFI. It's going to be some Vandal football, that pregame at 6 and kickoff at 7 for Jay, for Barry, who did the stats once again to great effect tonight. And for Pat back at the studio keeping us on the air, I'm Chris Chapman. Good night, everybody.